Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
And then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carn.
I think millions of Americans believe that this war is winnable.
White House spokesman Tony Snow says hear the president out on Wednesday night.
It is important to take a good look at what the president is proposing, how it fits together, how it meets our national aims and objectives, and how it's going to make us safer.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. The new strategy is expected to have political, economic, and military components, the last being a surge in U.S. combat troops expected in the range of 20,000 Army soldiers and Marines. But that flies in the face of opposition from the Democrats now running Congress, who served notice on the president last week that more troops will not contribute to success in Iraq and will stretch the U.S. military to the breaking point.
We haven't heard the president's arguments yet on whatever his full policy plan may be for Iraq. At the moment, the public jury is out on the question of surging troops into Baghdad. It's a CBS News survey. Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton.
Americans are divided on a short-term troop increase in order to stabilize Baghdad. 45% would favor such an increase, but 48% say that they would oppose that.
They all figure they would respond that way if it would help. A Pakistani immigrant is going to prison for plotting to blow up a busy Manhattan subway station. The jury gave Shahawa Siraj 30 years in prison. Prosecutors say the 24-year-old planned to blow up the subway station on the eve of the Republican National Convention in 2004 to protest the abuse of Iraqis. If the hospital staff is overworked, what do you think that'll do to your hospital experience? Right. Can't be a good thing.
How do hospital workloads affect your stay? A study in the Archives of Internal Medicine finds patients remain in the hospital longer, have higher costs, and increased death rates when they arrive on days when the resident staff is handling a lot of admissions. The findings suggest more effort is needed at the start of the hospital process when critical patient evaluations are made.
CBS's Barry Bagnato in Washington. Near universal health care in California. That's the plan from Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who wants health coverage extended to nearly everyone who is not now covered. That's about 6.5 million people.
We want to make health care more affordable, more accessible, more equitable for everybody. That is the bottom line.
All Californians would be required to have insurance, and all but the smallest businesses would have to offer it to their workers, and insurers could turn no one down. If Richard Branson can make it happen, he says he surely will. And astrophysicist Stephen Hawking says he's definitely there. Hawking plans to take a zero-grav flight to space in 2009 for his 65th birthday. Branson's Virgin Atlantic service expects to fly on a derivative of Spaceship One and charge space tourists about $200,000 for a two-hour trip. On Wall Street, the Dow gained more than 25 points, NASDAQ up about 4, oil 56.09 a barrel down 22 cents. This is CBS News.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
My name is Leslie, and I've been smoke-free for 6.5 months.
Quitting smoking is hard, but millions of people have succeeded.
My name is Brad, and I've been smoke-free for 15 months now.
If you decide to quit smoking, visit Quit Assist, a free resource that links you to a wealth of expert quitting information, including websites, guides, quit lines, and more. It could help you find your own way to success.
My name is Etta, and I have been smoke-free for 4 years.
Quit Assist, a free information resource. Log on at philipmorrisusa.com.
Chances are the car you drive is pretty doggone safe already, but not safe enough for the watchdogs.
87% of vehicles get a 5-star safety rating today, and Transportation Secretary Mary Peters says they have to do more to tell drivers which vehicles do more to protect them from things like leg and back injuries, and which vehicles have more advanced crash avoidance technology.
We're raising the bar and increasing the standards so that we can push the bar always for safety.
No timetable on when a new safety rating system will actually go into effect. The initial reaction from auto companies has been positive. Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
Since the 1920s, Los Angeles has been known for its fascinating, inspiring, thought-provoking outdoor wall murals, murals that have lasted for decades that bring color and pride to the neighborhood. Now, L.A. police say there's a competition among so-called taggers to see who can scrawl their graffiti name, their nickname the most, defacing the most artwork. 150 tagging crews trying to be number one. Harley Cox.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. 3 to 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. And aren't you lucky to have found us? Well, we think so. Let me give you all the pertinent information so that you are armed with it to begin. First of all, we stream live, so you don't actually have to be in the Sacramento metro area to hear us. You can be anywhere in the universe, and you can find us. And the way you can do it is to go online, 1320 Left Channel, one word, numbers and words, 1320leftchannel.com. So if you're at work, if you are at home and at work, I can keep you company. We can keep you company here on AM 1320. You could start your day with the Morning Retort, Scott and Sims, 5:30 to 9, and follow it all the way through 24 hours until you pick me up at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But 24 hours of what we think is pretty wonderful programming, smart and funny and provocative and honest. So right here on AM 1320. And you can email me. So there are lots of ways for us to be in touch. Enid at kctc.com. Enid at kctc.com. And, of course, you can call. And that's what we really love the most. It costs you nothing to do it. All calls to Enid Live are toll-free, completely toll-free. And in sharing your thoughts, you might wake up the rest of us. You certainly make us smarter. You certainly add to the conversation. And every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, we have what I think is a really compelling, wonderful, sometimes rollicking conversation, vibrant, full-throated. Sometimes we're really at odds with each other. Sometimes we're all on the same page. Really just depends on how the stars line up and what we're talking about. But we do know that most of you never call a talk radio show. You listen, but you don't call. So let me urge you to call, because if you're listening, you have lots of thoughts about things. And if you're a little bit shy about expressing them, you would join a long list of us who are shy about expressing them. But we do it anyway. So if you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320. So 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. I want to start by thanking John Elliott, who follows me on from 7 to 9 right here on AM 1320. He is Air America Radio, and so he's heard nationally. And he was my guest about the 6:30 portion of my show on Friday, because he was in town for the John Garamendi swearing in. It was a day that began very early for me, probably about 4:30 in the morning, actually. I had to be here very early because I attended the Schwarzenegger swearing in, and everything happened much later than it was supposed to. They had a couple of dress rehearsals, two the night before, it turns out, and one the morning of. And there was they had to solve the problem of how Schnartzy could do the swearing in, be sworn in without being on crutches. So I'll get to that in a moment. But anyway, it was a pretty long day, and we rushed right back rather under a pretty grave deadline pressure, and everybody really hustled, and we got you the sound from the the swearing in and all the information that we brought back for you, and lots of people really hustled hard, and that would be Montana and Corinne and lots of people. So thanks to everybody's good help there. And at the same time, we had John Elliott on at the last part of the show, and the deal was I was going to be a guest on his show for, you know, the same amount of time, roughly. And so, you all met him on my show, and then I became a guest on his show, and I wound up being asked to stay for the full 2 hours. So I had done my own show for 4 hours and 2 hours of his show, which airs nationally on Air America Radio and also is carried on XM Satellite. So I thank John Elliott. It was lots of fun, and it was a long day, but it was a lot of fun days. Fun too. So fun that we are able to bring you the quality of radio that we are thrilled to be able to do. And here we are. We're only 10 minutes old, and look what we've done already. So I think it's pretty wonderful, and I hope you do as well. Let me go back to the swearing in. The problem for the Schwarzenegger swearing in on Friday is, how is Arnold going to get sworn in without standing on crutches? And because he can't put too much weight on that one foot. So what they decided to do, the solution was a waist-high pillar draped with a cloth, and it was placed in the middle of the stage with the Bible on top, so that Schwarzenegger was able to press down on the Bible with enough force to steady himself, while his wife was there as well, steadying him from the other side. And of course, the part you didn't see is that he was hoisted up to the stage by a backstage elevator for the disabled. You know, so it's so much smoke and mirrors. It's so much showbiz. You know, you crutch yourself onto the stage, but in fact, you know, really, he's hoisted and he's pulleyed and he's got cables and screws and who knows what all else holding him together. Pete Wilson, who lost his voice, his bid for the Republican presidential nomination, much of his momentum in the first year of his second term. So second terms have not been great for a lot of governors. Pete Wilson lost, as I said, his voice, his bid for the Republican presidential nomination, and much of his momentum that he had going for him in the first term, all of that he lost in the second term. Within the first year of his second term, Gray Davis lost his momentum and then his head in the recall. So second terms aren't always perky for everybody. I guess we're going to see what happens with Arnold. I want to go to the inaugural ball. There was no press invited, just pool coverage, so it means a couple of delegates and who do the coverage and then feed it to everybody else. And I was particularly taken by one detail of the inaugural gala. Now, remember, if you were one of the major California corporations, they put the squeeze on you, the Schwarzenegger administration put the squeeze on you for $50,000 tickets, which invited you, I think, to two tickets to this to the inauguration, and maybe only two to the auditorium. I'm not sure, but not very many, and not too much. So if you're paying $50,000 for a ticket, guess what you got to eat besides crow and access? And I don't think you got too much access, because it's being reported that, well, you'll get the access later. But it was reported that Schwarzenegger spent only about 10 minutes on stage. But here's what you got for your $50,000, or if you were a silver member, what was that, 25 or 15, I forget now. You got mini Reuben sandwiches. You got sweet potato chips, lotus root chips, pico de gallo, shrimp and corn fritters, Chinese chicken salads, noodles, pesto baked brie en croute, watermelon, a dessert called Austrian fried mice, chocolate-covered strawberries, pasta, green beans, mashed potatoes, and porterhouse steak. I don't know. It sounds like it's a little on the cheesy side. Well, and there were a lot of cheese dishes, actually. But not too much in the fish department. You had mini Reuben sandwiches, sweet potato chips, a lot of potato chips they were serving. You know, bulks you up. Sweet potato chips. Maybe they had paramedics standing by. Lotus root chips, pico de gallo, shrimp and corn fritters, Chinese chicken salads. All of this stuff you can get at Trader Joe's. And if you paid $50,000, I don't know, you got a porterhouse steak and cholesterol-lowering drugs on the side. Here's what we can tell you went on at the inauguration. Maria arrived at the ball with her mother, Eunice Kennedy Shriver, where they greeted guests on the floor. She was wearing a low-cut coffee-colored dress by Monique Louillet. Rob Lowe, who served as the master of ceremonies, introduced Paul Anka as a true legend and amazing songwriter. He then introduced Schwarzenegger, who came out on crutches in an Armani tux, accompanied by Maria. You know, he was wearing Prada for the swearing-in, and now he's wearing Armani in the evening. He's a guy with a very odd body. A guy with a body that odd should actually be having his clothes made for him, don't you think? I'm just saying, because every suit I've seen him in, and I can't imagine that he would wear a cheap suit, kind of looks like a cheap suit. I would think that, I don't know, maybe they, these like they do with the Academy Awards, these big designers want these big names to wear their suits, their clothing, and either provide them free or a deep discount because the publicity is so invaluable. So whether he pays for his clothes or whether he is given the clothes, and the same for Maria Shriver, I really don't know what the arrangement is. In the case of Arnold, they never fit him right. They always look a little odd. So he ought to just have his clothes made for him because he's kind of got an odd body. Anyhow, Arnold was on the stage for about 10 minutes. He thanked Maria for organizing. He thanked the sponsors for making the inauguration possible. He said a few words, and they did a special version of My Way with Paul Anka, and the governor sang My Way at wherever he was supposed to sing My Way. So that's pretty much what happened. And it's at the convention center, which is not the most intimate facility we have in Sacramento. So I don't know how many people were there. I haven't seen reports as to how many people were actually at the ball, but it sounds sort of anticlimactic. And Your Goddess was down there. Not until, I would guess that it started about 7 o'clock or so, although I don't really know. But I was down there at about 11:30, and there was plenty of parking. So I was afraid that there wouldn't be any parking, so I don't think it lasted too long. He has, if you were wondering what it costs to have the kind of femur break that Arnold has had, it's expensive. Matirin Ross reporting on it in the Chronicle today. Can't beat the irony of Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger breaking his leg just as he's preparing to make health care reform a centerpiece of his second term. Well, if you think his leg is broken, wait till I share with you some of the details of the health care reform he's interested in. It might break your heart. So what does it cost to make the governor whole again? Hard to say exactly, but Linda Burt, chief financial officer for the St. John's Health Center in Santa Monica, which is where Schnorzi had his procedure done. He spent 5 days and underwent surgery for his injury there. Says that her hospital typically charges anywhere from $6,500 a day to $9,500 a day for basic room and care. So you got that? Basically charges anywhere from $6,500 a day to $9,500 a day for basic room and care at St. John's. Then come the thousands of dollars for x-rays, lab procedures, physical therapy, and medical supplies such as crutches. And that doesn't include the doctor's bills. Those in Schwarzenegger's case meant the services of at least one orthopedic surgeon and an anesthesiologist, each of whom probably billed the governor or his insurer several thousand dollars apiece. Put it all together, according to hospital consumer data collected by the Office of Statewide Health Planning and Development and St. John's, so probably St. John's charges patients with third-party insurance an average, you want to guess, of how much a day? Oh, about $16,500 a day. Those belonging to HMOs pay about $11,000 a day. Rough it out. And a conservative estimate of the cost of treating Arnold's broken leg would be $55,000 more than it would take to send a student to the University of California for 2 years, and that does not include the follow-up visits. $55,000 more than it takes to send a student to the University of California for 2 years, and that does not include the follow-up visits. You have some thoughts about this? And he's got insurance. And if he doesn't have insurance, he's a rich man. But for a little thing like this, you are talking conservatively, the Matirin Ross pegged it at about $55,000 or $60,000, and that's a conservative number. for a broken femur. And as we continue, what I want to do is I want to share with you the details of what Arnold is proposing for his health care reform. So here's the number, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have lows tonight right around 36. We're going to see highs tomorrow, 60. And just clouds, though, by Thursday. We'll have some scattered showers and partly cloudy on through the weekend. Our traffic, a little slow, south end I-5 just north of Laguna Boulevard, Walnut Avenue and Marconi Avenue, and westbound I-80 just west of Placer. We've got a two-car crash over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a good truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next, burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonia nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange,
and orange back in together. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's Tara. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Is wrong. We don't want to be right. AM 1320.
I'm gonna let it do all the talking. Ooh. Ooh. I came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree. Ooh. Ooh. I felt a little fear upon my back. I said, don't look back, just keep on walking. Then the big black horse said, look this way. He said, hey, that day, will you marry me? But I said, no, 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 no. I said, no, no, you're not the one for me.
You're not the one for me, but you're my governor anyway. 3:24 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 a.m. 1320 Sacramento's left channel. And you can join the conversation, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. It's a better conversation when you join it. And what we are adding and subtracting and coming up with a number about is Arnold's broken femur, and we think it probably is going to run at least $60,000. At least $60,000, and that doesn't include the follow-up visit. So $55,000, $60,000, these are conservative numbers. I mean, this is a huge amount of money for a healthcare issue. And I want to, as we continue, I'm going to share with you Arnold's plans for insuring all uninsured California children. And who's going to really pick up that tab? Kevin in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Well, I was calling, and I was going to say, and it's true, that you didn't even add in board and tuition and books and how much it costs to go to Cal.
To go to Cal. So a couple of years' worth of Cal is, so it doesn't cover a couple of years' worth of Cal.
Right.
The same amount. In other words, what we were saying, if you're just tuning in, is that Arnold's broken femur winds up to be about what it costs to send a kid to 2 years at Cal.
Right. Now, as I was waiting, though, I didn't want to be a hypocrite, and I know Arnold's going to be a governor for, what, 8 years?
No, he's got 4 more years to go.
Right, but it'll be a total of 8.
No, I think I think about 7. Six and a half, something like that.
Right, but because he doesn't take his pay of $150 to $200 a year, I'm figuring he gave us back over $1 million by not taking his pay that taxpayers would be paying.
Okay, so what does that have to do with health care?
Well, it counters that. If we're going to bring up one, we need to bring up, he gives millions that no other governor's given us like that. So it offsets by way far the $60,000.
Well, $60,000 isn't a state cost. $60,000 is whatever it costs, his insurance, whatever he has to pay out of his own pocket. Has nothing to do with the state, other than I don't know who his private insurer is. Maybe he gets his health insurance through the state, or maybe it's private and independent.
He probably has state insurance, I'm assuming.
Okay, so tell me what your point is. Did you
My
make it already?
My point is that him giving back millions of dollars to the state, that we would be paying his salary more than offset.
Well, so what does that have to? What does apples have to do with oranges, Kevin? I mean, he's not. We're not.
You know what it has to do with? I love to see both sides of people. If we're going to get on him for spending.
Both sides of people. I mean, one thing has nothing to do with the other. Whether he gives up his salary or he doesn't give up his salary. What does that have to do with his private health care costs? I don't get this at all. You are not, Kevin, darling. You are not thinking logically today. That's all I can say. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I mean, what does one thing have to do with the other? If you want to weigh in on this part of it, please, your goddess is mystified. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. All right. Here's what Arnold, hobbling to unveil now his sweeping health care reform, which he promised to do this week, and here are the elements of it. He today, and I'm gonna share with you some of the highlights. This is sort of amazing, and I want to know what you think about it. I won't comment immediately. I want to hear what you think about it. So put your thinking cap on and see what your thoughts are about this. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger today proposed upending. This is the LA Times now. Reporting, proposed upending just about every portion of the healthcare industry in one of the country's most elaborate efforts at holding down medical costs and expanding insurance to those who don't have it. All right, so we're all agreed on the goal here, and here is the goal. The goal is to insure the uninsured, and in this case, we're starting with children, and it doesn't matter whether they're here legally or they are not. Okay. So here's Schwartz's plan. He publicly unveiled it today at noon. He took the drape off, you know, the one that he was used to drape the Statue of Justice, the boobies on the Statue of Justice in Washington, D.C. They you know what? They move it around by FedEx to all these Republicans. Anyway, he unveiled his at noon this plan that would require employers with 10 workers or more. If you have 10 workers or more, if you're an employer, small business, you know, 10 workers or more, to buy, you are now required to buy insurance, or at least according to his plan, you would be required to buy insurance for your workers or pay a fee of 4% of their payroll into a program to help provide coverage for the uninsured. So here's the first one of the provisions. You would be required, if you had 10 or more workers, to buy insurance for those workers or to pay a fee of 4%. Now, it doesn't say whether these are full-time workers or part-time workers. If they're part-time, you're going to have to now take care of their benefits if you are a small business owner. Schwarzenegger would tax doctors 2% of their gross revenue, 2% of their gross revenue, and place a 4% tax on hospitals. He campaigned for re-election on an anti-tax platform, but the first thing he's proposing is to put a 4% tax on hospitals. His administration argues that so many more people would have insurance that medical providers would make more money. The governor also wants to ban insurers from refusing to offer coverage to some individuals because of their prior medical conditions, such as being born. Insurers would also have to spend at least 85% of their premium revenues on patient care, a move that would limit the amount that companies spend on administrative costs and profits. Without explaining where the money would come from, So let me give that to you again. The governor is going to tax doctors 2% of their gross revenues. He wants to place a 4% tax on hospitals. He wants to ban insurance companies from refusing to offer coverage to people because of their prior medical conditions. And insurers would have to spend at least 85% of their premium revenues on patient care, not as much as they have been spending on administrative costs and profits. Without explaining where the money would come from, Schwarzenegger proposed increasing payments to doctors and hospitals through Medi-Cal by $4 billion. $4 billion. Now, remember, every three or four days we throw down that rat hole, $1 billion in Iraq. Every 3 or 4 days. So some of these programs that we're debating, whether or not we're going to provide sufficient screening of our cargo, sufficient security to our country. Well, we offset it by how much is it going to cost, cost-to-benefit ratio. It would be all of it is a drop in a bucket compared to what we are spending in Iraq. So I just give you that by way of a comparison. But he is going to propose increased payments to doctors and hospitals through Medi-Cal by $4 billion, but he doesn't say how he's going to pay for it. In an effort to cover all California children, including ones in the state illegally, Schwarzenegger's plan would expand the state's Healthy Families Program, providing insurance to children whose parents make less than three times the poverty level. This works out to be about $60,000 for a family of four. And Schwarzenegger said his plan would require that every Californian have health insurance. We would all be required to have health insurance. If you cannot afford it, the state will help you buy it, he said, but you must be insured. We all must be insured. Schwarzenegger called the delivery and payment of health care in California disastrous, noting that nearly one in five residents is uninsured. The problem of that, of course, is that the rest of the people who have insurance pay for them, he said. Those who are fortunate enough to have coverage, we are paying a hidden tax. And that is true. We are all paying for the people who use the ER room instead of going to a doctor's office. All of these ideas are sure to engender opposition from the healthcare industry and their allies in the legislature, which must approve any plan before it becomes law. Anticipating a hostile reaction to his plan from many quarters, Schwarzenegger said that although it appears that some people lose and other people win under his proposal, in fact, the whole system would benefit. Everyone has been left here with a better deal, he said. But Republican lawmakers and business groups have long argued against additional requirements on employers. 2 hours before Schwarzenegger unveiled his plan, Assembly Republican leader Mike Vallines, I hope I'm saying that correctly, is it Vallines or Vallines, joined with a trio of small business owners in a Thai restaurant a few blocks from the Capitol to announce that his caucus will resist any plan that places a mandate on employers. He called such mandates a job tax and stood at a podium alongside a large poster with those words circled and crossed through with red ink. Last month, Senate President Pro Tem Don Parada, Democrat from Oakland, proposed taxing workers and employers to cover an estimated 4.2 million of 6 million uninsured Californians with a requirement that all employers, even those with a single employee, even those with one single employee, maybe even a part-timer, offer health insurance or pay the state a percentage of payroll. Parada would also require workers to prove when they pay taxes that they have health insurance. Let me tell you something. This is kind of like the exit exam in high schools in California. They don't give you the tools to do it, but they expect you to have it. They are bending and twisting themselves in a thousand ways so that they don't offend the large insurers. They are bending and twisting themselves in a thousand ways so that they are taxing employers. They're bending and twisting themselves in a thousand ways, and they're going to require you to have insurance, but they're not really going to make it easily available for you. And there's going to be a lot of hue and cry about this. What are your thoughts as we continue? What are your thoughts about Arnold's deal? Is it going to work? Is this a good plan? Is this the way to insure the uninsured in this state, and particularly uninsured children? 349-1320, 866-620-1320. I'll give you the highlights again, and I want your views on this. He would require, this plan would require that employers with 10 or more workers insure their workers or else pay a fee of 4% of their payroll into a program. Now, if you are a small business owner, I particularly want to hear from you. How is this going to affect your bottom line? Doctors would have to pay 2% of their gross revenue, and hospitals would pay a 4% tax. The insurer would have to spend at least 85% of their premium revenues on patient care, not administrative costs or profits. The insurers would not be able to deny you coverage for prior existing condition as they have to the same extent that they have. In addition, Schwarzenegger's plan would expand the state's Healthy Families Program, providing insurance to children whose parents make less than three times the poverty level, which works out to about $60,000 for a family of four. He's going to require every Californian to have health insurance. I don't know how you're going to get it. And then there's a deal where they want to propose increased payments to doctors and hospitals through Medi-Cal by $4 billion, but he doesn't say how he's going to pay for it. What are your thoughts about this? Is this a good plan? Is this a bad plan? Are there good elements in this plan? Are there bad elements in this plan? Is this plan going to go anywhere? What do you think? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have a couple of incidences. Southbound 99 just north of southbound I-5, we have a two-car crash. Westbound 50 at El Dorado Hills, there's a three-car crash. There's Stockton Boulevard and Walnut Avenue at Kenneth Avenue. We have a two-car crash over there. Emergency vehicles are blocking the lane. Manzanita Avenue just south of Madison Avenue, a two-car crash slowing things down going up Madison Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Honey!
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Maryland. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
So that even if you have one single employee, you are going to have to offer health care benefits. How does that affect you, your business? If you know somebody who's got a small business, how is that going to work? I want to know. If you're a doctor, a schnortzy who has just, it's going to cost him at least probably $60,000 his own femur break is probably at least in the $60,000. This is what it costs. Here's our story. We spend twice as much on health care per person as Canada, as France. And France is supposed to have a very first-rate system. Canada, when they do surveys, 98% of Canadians love their system. So don't ever use that as, well, in Canada, you can't get this, you can't get that. They're happy with the system that they have in Canada. And Australia. We pay twice as much. Our life expectancy is quite a lot lower, and our infant mortality rate is quite a bit higher than those three countries. We pay about, Great Britain pays about a third of what we do, maybe about $2,500 or so per person. And again, they have higher life expectancy and lower infant mortality rates than we. So we aren't getting a lot of bang for the buck. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So if you are a small business owner, how is this going to affect your business? What is this going to do for your business? So how does this affect your business if you are a small business owner? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Are you going to be able to do this? And if you're a doctor, 2% of the gross revenue is what you're going to have to give up on this plan. Is that going to work for you? I know a lot of doctors who have fled from medicine. sometimes it's even hard to get on with a doctor because there are a lot more people who need doctors than there appear to be doctors, and a lot of them are just frustrated with the system that doesn't let them do what they want to do, where they're second-guessed by 19-year-old clerks who barely have a high school education. And the insurance clerks at the insurance companies who tell them what they can and they cannot do and what the insurance companies will and will not pay. So doctors who are used to earning, I think, quite a bit more than they are now earning would have to give up 2% of their gross revenues, and hospitals would have to pay a 4% tax. Is that, if you're a doctor, how do you feel about giving up 2% of your gross revenue? How is that going to work? And if you are a small business owner and if you have 10 or more employees and you have to insure them all and you don't presently, how is that going to work for you? Is that going to, can you manage that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And if you are a small employer right now, what does it cost you per worker to insure them? How much does it cost per worker to an average cost? Does anybody have that figure? Red in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Red.
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Listen, this whole insurance thing, it's the health insurance thing, it's just another bogus fortify the insurance industry program. The way you deal with insurance when it's insuring a necessary public health or safety issue is you have the largest risk pool you can, which is the total population. You don't let private insurance companies run it in little pools. Then you can negotiate prices, and the cost of your total health care insurance in a state is the amount of revenue you take in from all individuals, which could be made progressive so it doesn't fall unfairly on the poor. And you take your total costs adjusted to your total revenues.
Well, wait a minute. This is Sheila Kuehl's Red. This is Sheila Kuehl's proposal.
Yeah. No matter how you play the game of who's going to pay what and what small business is going to do what and what insurance companies get and so forth, you're playing a shill game. The larger your risk pool, the better you can negotiate prices. And you cover everybody, and everybody pays.
All right, let me jump in here and play devil's advocate. You have these insurance companies. They are among the biggest, richest in America. You think they're going to give this profitable business up? They're happy not to take you unless your health is about 100%. If you have any prior existing conditions, such as being born, forget about it. They're going to cut you loose. You got jock itch that was successfully treated a few years ago? They don't want you. So my question is, how, and remember now how they sunk Hillary Clinton. Remember the health care proposal? These companies put together very expensive, very costly advertising, and they were able to sink any kind of a proposal, health care reform, that was going to come out of the Clinton administration. They successfully sunk it. What do you think they're going to happen if there's even the tiniest threat that they could be muscled out of some of this business? Red?
And it should be scrapped. And it should be exposed for what it is.
Red, but let me ask you, what's going to happen if they feel like they're being muscled out of this business? How are they going to respond?
The insurance company?
Yeah.
They'll respond like the oil industry or the pharmaceutical industry, but we've got to pull them in by race. Listen, they started this thing by buying out doctors.
What do you mean?
We've got to get.
What do you mean they're buying out doctors?
Well, in the early incursions of the insurance industry into healthcare in the 50s, and there's a great book called Bitter Medicine. I wish I could remember the doctor's name who wrote it. She wrote it in the 60s, and it was a complete analysis of how the insurance industry took over the health industry, and it had to do with them providing equipment, providing separate clinics, providing kidney.
All right, what does this have to do with the whole issue of insurance?
Once they had bought out doctors and controlled doctors' client panels and had 80% of the doctors under their control, they virtually had control of what kind of medicine you got. At that point, they then seated themselves on the Medicare.
Red, I'm asking you a question. Stay on it for a minute. Try to stay on it and stay focused. I'm asking you a question. If we go after the major insurers, what are they going to do?
They're going to react like hell to
prevent it. That's right. They're gonna step on the gas.
They're gonna run an advertising campaign. The advertising campaign for Hillary was, do you want the government to choose your doctor? We didn't ask, do you want the insurance industry to choose your doctor?
So they're going to mount a campaign. They will throw. They'll buy every legislature that they can.
The counter campaign.
Well, are we going to do it? That's the question. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, Tom and Zach. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Tom. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, this is Don.
Don, sorry. Welcome.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, anyway, I don't know about everybody else who's uninsured and all that, but what I can tell you is that the way that our system has worked out, especially most of us in construction, have got to be independent contractors. Now, see, when you're an independent contractor, you have no safety net, you have no employer, but because nobody wants to have employees, then you become your own. I don't think his plan is going to help me a bit.
All right, now tell me again, did you say that you're in construction?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you come to a job, do they want to know that you have health insurance because they don't want to hire you if you don't?
Well, if I'm supposed to have insurance, I don't know. I think I'm the person who falls through the gap here. I'm the one who nobody cares about because I'm self-employed. I'm supposed to have the world by the tail.
Okay, how are you handling your health insurance now?
Well, I ended up just being fortunate. I have planned through my late wife. fortunate. Yeah, cool for me.
Right.
Now I can tell you my current wife has to pay close to $20,000 a year. She works for her own medical because she is totally self-employed.
So she's paying $20,000 a year for her own medical.
Between her premiums and various medical things that are not covered by Blue Shield.
Right. And, you know, even when you think you're covered by an insurer, sometimes when you go to collect, they drop you. You've been paying your premiums. You've been current on everything. You go to collect, and that's it. Well, Tom, I'm glad you've got a good plan. You might be somebody who would fall through the cracks. Actually, let's put it out there and see if there are other people in your situation. I thank you very much for the call. You had Tom calling in. He is does construction, considered to be an independent contractor, which a lot of people are, and he is responsible for his own health insurance. I wonder how this situation, how Schwarzenegger's overhaul of health insurance would apply to somebody like Tom. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. 36 for the low. We're going to see highs near 60 on Tuesday. Partly cloudy, scattered showers, though, we're going to see on Thursday. Friday, clear again, I think it's going to be. We're at 58 in our traffic, south at 99. Little slow going that way on DeGault and Lodi. A little slow coming back northbound just by Arden Way. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sims.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever Jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever Jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me.
You and me.
Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
No air pollution. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, the day of the week in which more heart attacks occur, yes? So we're talking about health care issues, and the reason we're doing it is it was estimated that Arnold Schwarzenegger's femur break probably, and this is a conservative estimate, is in the $55,000 to $60,000 range right now, not to mention all the follow-up. So it could really escalate. Health care costs are enormous. And they make a big difference between people staying solvent and people who, even if they're not living paycheck to paycheck, can be absolutely wiped out. You think you have insurance, and sometimes if you're reading the fine print, it doesn't cover this and it doesn't cover that. And even when you think you, for example, if you're having some surgery and you think everything is in network, your surgeon's in network and your hospital's in network, well, then you come to find out after the surgery that the anesthesiologist was not in network and the radiologist was not in network and there was no control that you had over that. And so then you get these big bills. And apparently this happens with a certain amount of frequency. So Schwarzenegger's proposing some massive health care reforms. I like Sheila Kuehl's bill, SB 840, but the insurance companies will never, never, never want that to see the light of day because it sort of eliminates them, I think. Pretty much we become the pool. California becomes self-insured. And then you have the Gates Foundation, which has gotten so much publicity for all the good works it's doing about regarding health care around the world. But in some places, there are all this horrible pollution that goes on where children have these life-threatening asthma and even worse than that. And it turns out that the Gates Foundation is heavily invested in these huge corporations that belch out this horrible stuff that makes people really sick. So the Los Angeles Times did a whole investigation, and it's headlined Dark Cloud Over the Good Works of the Gates Foundation. But I think that health care ought to be something that is just basic. What you don't have, there is so much that's so uncertain in our country. So many jobs farmed out so that you can at least count on having decent health care coverage if anything should happen to you. And you never know. You can be a vibrantly healthy human being, and there could be an accident. There could be an outbreak. Again, and I thank you for calling, Sharon. 349-1320. That's the end of this hour. But lucky us. Three more hours of Enid Live coming up right now.
Breaking news in the war on terror. U.S. Air Force gunship has conducted a strike against suspected members of Al-Qaeda in the African country of Somalia.
President Bush sets the date.
We'll hear the president's new strategy on Iraq Wednesday evening. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Al-Qaeda operatives based in Somalia were the targets of a secret U.S. airstrike. CBS News national security correspondent David Martin has exclusive details.
The targets included the senior Al-Qaeda leader in East Africa and an Al-Qaeda operative wanted for his involvement in the 1998 bombings of two American embassies in Africa. The AC-130 gunship is capable of firing thousands of rounds per second, and sources say a lot of bodies were seen on the ground after the strike. But there is, as yet, no confirmation of the identities.
The Al-Qaeda operatives had been on the move since U.S.-backed Ethiopian troops pushed them out of the Somali capital, Mogadishu. Ethiopia invaded Somalia to overthrow a radical Islamic government that had Al-Qaeda support. Now this.
Is your office in disarray? Can't find what you need? Well, Office Depot has great deals on file folders, binders, filing cabinets, shredders, and storage containers. Plus, we have over 800 calendars and planners to keep you up to date. So hurry in. Let Office Depot lend you a hand getting organized. Office Depot, taking care of business.
Whoa, Office Depot!
I hear you got a new car.
Yeah, I got it for a good price.
What kind is it?
Don't know.
What color?
No idea.
Four-door or two-door?
Haven't a clue. But hey, I got it for a good price.
Buying a car on price alone doesn't make much sense, so why buy car insurance that way? At Progressive Direct, we provide rates from other top companies plus 20 facts and figures so you can compare on more than just price. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations.
Wednesday evening, we'll hear directly from President Bush about his plan for Iraq. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
At the heart of the new strategy is an expected call for increasing the number of U.S. troops in Iraq by upwards of 20,000. Top Democrats in Congress vehemently oppose that approach, though spokesman Tony Snow says reaction could be more conciliatory.
I know it's tempting to think, boy, this is going to set off a big old political firestorm, and it very well may. But on the other hand, it may actually set off a period of reflection and constructive activity, and that would be a good thing as well.
Snow says Mr. Bush views his new strategy as a way to achieve victory, which he still regards as vital to America's interests in the war on terror. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Oregon Republican Gordon Smith and several other senators met with the president this afternoon. Smith says Mr. Bush told them that the plan for a surge originated with Iraq's prime minister, who made commitments to strengthen Iraqi security forces in exchange for more U.S. troops.
I'm Cammie McCormick in Baghdad. If the president announces more troops are being sent in, Iraqis will be watching to see where they're headed, Baghdad, Anbar province, or elsewhere, and what their role will be in the forefront or backing Iraqi security forces. Prime Minister Maliki has announced his own security clampdown in Baghdad, but elsewhere more than 2,000 Marines have already been brought in to help shut down the routes insurgents may be using in the Euphrates River Valley and on the roads leading into Iraq from Jordan and Syria.
CBS News correspondent Katie Couric went to Fort Stewart, Georgia, home of the Army's 3rd Infantry Division. Its commander, General Rick Lynch, says a troop surge is a good idea.
When it comes to the provinces in Iraq, you say most of them are, in fact, peaceful, secure, and calm.
Yeah. Of the 18 provinces in the country of Iraq, there are only 4 with significant levels of violence.
But you admit, as goes Baghdad, so goes Iraq, right?
Yes, and if we create a stable situation in Baghdad, the rest for Iraq will follow.
In a report today, an activist group tries to pressure states that have been slow to impose stricter highway safety standards.
Citing a 15-year high in highway deaths in 2005, the group Advocates for Highway and Auto Safety is urging state legislatures to act on 15 traffic safety measures covering 5 major areas of safety behavior. For example,
today only 19 states and the District of Columbia have an all-rider motorcycle helmet law.
Advocates Vice President Jackie Gillen says that is despite a rise in motorcycle accident deaths. 16 states and Washington, D.C. get green lights, a good record at adopting such key laws, but 3 get red lights from the group. Failure to adopt key safety measures. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
Yeah.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Eat It Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
Let me know that I've done wrong when I've known this all along.
After 4 o'clock, welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. Yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. I hope that you're telling everybody you know about AM 1320 because a lot of people are beginning to find out about it and a lot of people still don't know about it. I just want to give you a little heads up. Eric Bollert, author of Lapdogs, How the Press Rolled Over for President Bush, will be guest tomorrow morning in the 6 a.m. hour. on the Morning Retort with Scott and Sims, and you can find them from 5:30 tonight right here on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Start your day with them. Leave your presets to 1320 when you go to bed at night. Have it on 1320. You'll wake up in the morning to 1320, and all the way through your day, I think you're going to hear some really wonderful talk radio on AM 1320. So tell everybody you know, and we love it when you tell us what's on your mind, and you can do it, and it doesn't cost you a penny to do it. That's what's so wonderful about this system. You want to be in the newspaper. You want your letter to the editor published in the paper. That's nice, but very likely it won't get published. And if it does, it'll be altered. But here we can hear it from your own mouth, exactly what your thoughts are. The more of you who call in, the more vibrant the conversation becomes. And it's a it sometimes it just morphs into who knows what. It starts in one place and morphs into something else entirely, and that's what's so really thrilling about talk radio when it's flying around. This is what we love about it. So 349-1320 is the number to call. 349-1320 and or if you're outside the area code 866-626-1320, 866-626. 1320. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com, and we stream live. So as you're going about your work at your desk and you want some company, we're here for you. 1320leftchannel.com. 1320leftchannel.com. We're talking about health care. We are talking about the governor's sweeping proposal, and the question is, does it have a chance, and is it very practical? The governor is proposing a requirement that employees with at least 10 workers either offer health insurance to workers or contribute to a state fund. There are about 6.5 million Californians without insurance, and it doesn't matter whether you're legal or illegal, you will be covered because, you know what, a public health issue, an infectious disease is an infectious disease, and it doesn't care whether you have papers or you don't. So here is what the governor is suggesting, that insurance companies would no longer have the discretion who to cover and who to turn down for coverage, require insurance companies and hospitals to use 85% of their revenues from premiums for patient care rather than for profits or administrative costs, that doctors would pay 2% of their fees, their gross revenues, while hospitals would pay in the neighborhood of 4% of its revenues. Expand Healthy Families Medi-Cal for all children and families earning under $60,000 a year, and I think that's for a family of four. And set aside $4 billion for Medi-Cal reimbursements to bring those payments up to par with Medicare payments. Is this going to work? Are you going to fall through the cracks? Some of you have called in to say, you know what, I'm an independent contractor. I work construction jobs. I'm not going to qualify for this. Another, Sharon, just called in to say, well, she has cancer. She is below the poverty line. I think if you're below the poverty line, Medi-Cal is available to you. And I think you will probably always have some sort of state coverage. That would be my guess. But anybody who knows more about that system, we'd like to hear from you. What are your thoughts about this? If you're a small business owner, you have 10 employees or more, how is this going to affect your bottom line? Bill, in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, I think the only way is a single-payer system. We need to ace these blood-sucking insurance companies out that have been leeching on us that cause us to have the highest cost with the least delivery of service of any industrialized country in the world. And my suggestion is that we repeat having an initiative for a single-payer thing. It may go down to defeat again, but eventually it will pass. The same thing happened with Proposition 13. They were running these initiatives year after year, and finally the thing passed. And I think we have to have the same persistence because these blood-sucking insurance companies will continue to run their false advertising to in order to save their hide compared to what a single payer that would have an overhead of about 3%.
Well, one of the most successful systems has been the VA. It has been very successful. It was not in a good place a few years ago, but the Clinton administration helped to turn it around. And now, excuse me, it delivers wonderful health care very successfully. It does it very economically. It is able to use its buying power to negotiate drug costs. In every way, it's a really good model.
Well, the easiest way would be to simply model the whole state thing after our
Medicare.
Federal Medicare program.
Right, and Medicare has been successful as well.
Yes, it has. I'm on Medicare, and I'm getting good coverage. Right now I've got lymphoma cancer that I'm undergoing treatment for, and the coverage has been well, but I think everybody should have that coverage. I think healthcare should be a right, not a privilege. And I think these blood-sucking insurance companies, I can think of maybe worse names for them, but they're a leech on society. With all the money spent on how they can find people who they can deny coverage to because they're, quote, poor risks. I think the government should be taking care of that.
Well, Bill, I strongly believe that. I am with you, and we are wishing you success in your treatment. And I think this is a good idea that you've proposed, and I thank you.
Well, I just started my most recent one, and and the doctors say the numbers are coming in good. So.
Good. All right.
If you notice that Diane Feinstein had a good article in yesterday's Sacramento Bee Forum on a bill to bring mass program to try to find a cure for cancer.
Yes, I did see that. I did see that. And we're going to leave it there, Bill.
I do
thank you very much for the call, and we're wishing you all the best, too. So that was two callers today who have talked about being treated for cancer. And, you know, it's really funny. In some small towns, in the Land of Time Forgot, there appears to be an oncologist on every corner. So I don't know. I don't know what that's all about. If that should happen, it has to be the scariest word in the world when you get that diagnosis, number one. And number two, if you're worried about how you're going to pay for it, there are people worried about how they're going to pay for it, even who are insured and think that they are heavily insured. And then they find out that it's a whole other story when the bills start coming in. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But you have the governor, and he says that he wants to revise health care dramatically in the state and ensure all the uninsured, make it a requirement that you be insured in the state of California. But I don't know that he's going to go about it in the right way. I don't think that this is the right way of doing it. And I'm with Bill. I'm with Bill on the single-payer system, and I think that Sheila Kuehl's bill, SB 840, is exactly the way to go. And it passed the legislature, but Arnold vetoed it. I want to say something. If that bill ever gets anywhere, if we finally decide to pay the attention to that bill that we ought to have, because that would provide universal health care. It would be a single-payer system to do it. You can be sure that the insurance companies are going to come back with everything they've got. And how is it that they were able to bamboozle us with the, what was it, Louise and Harry, Thelma and Harry, what was that ad campaign that they used to such successful effect to sink any Clinton mandate for health reform? They used it. People got scared. Oh, my goodness, the people who didn't want to do their homework, they didn't want to do their research. Maybe it's the same people who wanted to believe everything that Dickey had to say. Maybe it was the same people who were so politically disengaged that they didn't want to do the homework necessary that I really think is your admission charge, admission cost into a free society, into a democracy, and they just let themselves be manipulated by the commercials. Just like people let themselves for all these years be manipulated by the smart commercials that Rove and company were able to put out that were so highly effective on behalf of this administration, until finally the lies built to a point where you had a tipping point and people could see that this was an administration that had nothing to offer, was only interested in taking, had nothing to really give us. And it turns out that the president is supposed to be giving a speech, has asked for time from the networks on Wednesday night, and he's going to ask for the troop surge. In his first wide-ranging interview, the number two U.S. commander in Iraq conceded yesterday that a military surge escalation would not be enough to rescue Iraq, advocating economic and political changes, as well as top Democratic lawmakers in Washington stiffened their opposition to any escalation of U.S. troop strength. Lieutenant General Raymond Odierno said he believed that a combination of jobs, provincial elections, anti-militia legislation, and stronger Iraqi security forces could stop the nation's plunge toward all-out civil war. What I was interested to see is that the administration wants to create a jobs program in Iraq. I haven't noticed that they have created a jobs program in the United States of America. And if you will recall, one of the things the administration wanted to give to the Iraqis when we were going in, and remember we'd be in and out in 10 minutes, they'd be greeting us with flowers in the street, what we were going to give them was universal health care. We were going to give everybody health care coverage in Iraq. We weren't going to do that for our own citizens. The costs of going into Iraq have been so mammoth, have been so huge, that we probably could have given everybody health care coverage several times over. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So we're going to give them jobs in Iraq. We're going to have a jobs program when I don't think we have much of a jobs program in this country. Well, we can't offshore our jobs fast enough in this country, number one. And number two, if you will recall, the administration was going to try to provide complete and utter universal health care coverage for all Iraqis. That was the goal. Do you remember that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320, when they weren't going to provide that for all Americans. Teresa in Roseville, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I think Arnold is trying to basically work in favor of the insurance companies, because I think he is trying to get every penny he can out of people on behalf of the insurance companies. I don't think he's doing us a favor. I agree. I think the single-payer system is the way to go. I think this country has been divided up by the wealthy and then taken more and more from our government to give to their children, who are needing a lot of money too to live. So they give off the insurance companies to their children. They're just dismantling our government and putting it in their own pockets.
Well, I think that single payer is the way to go. I agree with you. That's what we need to have in this country. But anytime it comes up, people vote it down because the insurance companies go on a scare tear, just like the administration did. How they manipulated us was with fear. So we were on a scare tear, and that's what they're going to do if it comes up again, and people will allow themselves to be manipulated, even when it's not in their own best interest. There are plenty of people who voted against single payer who don't have any insurance and don't have any hope of having any insurance.
Well, the Democrats really need to combat these ads right immediately and show them for what they are.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Explain it to the people. We need a government that's really working for the majority of the people, not for the few wealthy.
I thank you for the call, Teresa. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. If you're a business owner, if you're a small business owner, what's this going to mean to you that if you have 10 employees or more, maybe they're even part-time. I'm not sure what the cutoff is. The legislation, what I've seen, is not specific. But even your part-time people, if you have 10 or more, and you might have 6 or 7 or 8 part-timers, you're going to have to insure them all or else pay into a fund. Carmen in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Carmen.
Oh, hi, Enid. Nice talking to you.
Thank you.
You know what? I am not a business owner, but I have been looking at the situation from I'm a South American, so from a South American point of view, and I feel sad for the American workers, some of the hardest workers, and they are treated why this way? Because it's a capitalistic society you guys have. It's a capitalistic country. That's what capitalism is all about. Ruling the corporations, ruling the country, and profit from it. The workers are losing everything. Pensions, 30% pay cut.
Where are you from, Carmen? What country are you from?
I'm from Chile.
And what do they have in Chile?
They have I'm so proud about this. They have a divorced woman. And that's our president. It's a socialist country. And they do have free health care. My family does. They have psychologists for free, dentistry, all that. But you know what? It's still underdeveloped world, We're still almost there, so it's not the same than the United States.
I think Paul Krugman has referenced Chile as having a pretty interesting system, and he said good things about it. So,
yeah.
All right, what are you doing for health care in this country, Carmen? Are you insured?
I'm lucky enough to, my husband has a nice job, and we're all taken care of, but I worry about the other people, and I'm surprised to meet Americans don't have, not everybody, This is why I'm calling you, because they don't have that concept of social consciousness, you know, of we are all here and it's not just about what you work and how much you make and whatever happens to the next, you know, as long as time.
Well, it's what's in it for me is become the national motto. You know, get in God we trust off the money, because our real motto is what's in it for me.
Who owns the insurance corporations? Probably somebody tied up with Congress or something. You will, you watch.
Well, I think that they make huge contributions to politicians. That's what I know. Carmen, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. All right, 36 for the low. Highs coming up for 60. But they do say on Thursday we might see some snow. The temperatures are going to drop in Northern California. Hallelujah. I am so excited that we are going to have snow in Sacramento. I'm sure it's going to be minute, though. It'll be poquito, I'm positive. Westbound I-80 just east of Beaufort, we do have a two-car crash. And Hazel Avenue, there is a two-car crash over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Have you heard about the cool
new rule? Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area. So stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
The
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And you can join the conversation, 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about health care. And before we go back to that, first of all, a headline I want to give you, and we'll go into it. The governor, while he's trying to provide health care for all these uninsured kids, is also cutting children's welfare payments. At the same time, can you believe that? And we have a breaking story here, and that is that, let me see if I can dig it up here. Deborah Bowen, who we supported for Secretary of State, has been, installed today. Today was her swearing in. And what she has done is she has named a major e-voting critic an attorney to key voting systems oversight, and this is what she's done. Deborah Bowen appoints Lowell Finley of Election Integrity Watchdog Group VoterAction.org in the role of Deputy SOS for Voter Systems Technology and Policy. So critics of e-voting think that this is great news for voters, very bad for the nation's electronic voting machine companies. It may not be a good day for corporate offices at Diebold, but Brad Blogg has learned that some big news may well indicate today is a very good day indeed for the voters of America, specifically California. And I know that she was re-looking at all the voting machines, even those that have been previously certified by her predecessor, Bruce McPherson, who's out now. Deborah Bowen is officially, as of I think 2 o'clock this afternoon or so, officially the Secretary of State in California, and she is really top to bottom going to look at the voting machines to be sure that we have an honest enterprise and an honest count. So I think this is really good news. You might want to comment on that. 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Bowen was sworn into office today at 2 o'clock. News of her plans for office, including a top-to-bottom review of voting systems certified by her predecessor and her view that voting machine sleepovers with poll workers prior to Election Day are, in fact, illegal. So she is starting by stepping on the gas. Well, the governor is starting by stepping on the gas and giving us gas, because on the one hand, he wants to expand health care coverage for uninsured children in the state of California and ultimately all the uninsured in the state of California. And it doesn't matter, at least if you're a kid, whether you're legal or you're not. But at the same time that he's wanting to give children health care benefits, he is trying to cut welfare benefits for children. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will propose saving hundreds of millions of dollars in next year's state budget by halting welfare payments to children if their parents do not go to work. Now, let's look at this for a moment. Supposing the parents have a substance abuse problem, supposing the parents are mentally disabled or mentally challenged, supposing the parents have a physical disability, you are now about to punish the child. It's not the child's fault that this is who the parents are. It's not the child's fault that the parents can't go to work for one reason or another. Won't, can't, unable to, indisposed, have something better to do. Not the kid's fault. And the welfare payments, the administration is going to try to cut those welfare payments if the parents won't go to work. What are your thoughts about this? Is this a good thing? Will this spur the parents to go to work? 349-1320 or 866-626-1320. Over the holidays, I saw or heard somebody, I can't remember which, talking about how fear is often used as a motivator. Fear is used as a way to get you to quit smoking, quit overeating, quit doing things that are bad for your health. And the author of the book said it doesn't work. Now, I don't know if it doesn't work. Maybe it might work a little bit. I quit smoking because I got scared. A friend of mine who's a doctor scared me so badly, I quit smoking. That was quite a while ago. I'm really glad not to be smoking. And I'm particularly glad not to be smoking when I see people dragging around their oxygen with them wherever they go and can only go short distances without getting hugely winded. I'm very glad that I got scared into doing it. So I think fear has some effect. And remember, the administration has successfully used fear to manipulate our behavior. The insurance company successfully used a campaign of fear to keep us from going for a single-payer universal health care system in California. We get closer and closer to it. The vote gets closer and closer each time. But so far we haven't voted it in, and we need to do that. We need not to let fear dominate us. But fear, when it comes to your welfare benefits will be cut, I don't know to what extent it's going to work. And if you are the kid in a family like this, you already have one strike against you, which is to have a family that won't work, can't work, unable to work, impoverished so that everybody's on welfare. And your second strike, if it isn't your third, your second strike is now there will be even less money to keep the family going. Is this a smart move to make? And I suppose the administration is hoping that it will cause families to work, but you are punishing the child. What the administration wants to do, Schwarzenegger's administration, is to stop welfare payments to children if their parents don't go to work. The administration wants to eliminate the 4% raise in welfare benefits due in July. The administration wants to cut off aid to children of undocumented parents after 5 years if parents have not become legal residents. But it wants to insure all children, even if they're here illegally. I don't get this. This is like a schizophrenic kind of a situation. They want to provide insurance to everybody, all children, whether here legally or illegally, but they want to cut off any kind of welfare. And if you are undocumented and the parents have been here for 5 years and they still haven't made a move to become a legal resident, they want to cut off your welfare as a family. Is any of this good policy? 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will propose saving hundreds of millions of dollars in next year's state budget by halting welfare payments to children if their parents don't go to work. The governor is scheduled to release his entire spending plan on Wednesday for the fiscal year that will begin July 1. The welfare proposal released in advance of the rest of the budget so it could get public attention appears markedly different from the governor's approach last year. Last year, Schwarzenegger and legislative Democrats agreed to boost funding for job training and other supportive programs in CalWORKS, as the state's welfare program is called. Though Democrats have consistently opposed cutting children's welfare payments, finance officials said this year's proposal was an example of post-partisan approach to governing that the Republican governor has said he is embracing as he begins his second term. Now that we are, as the governor says, in an era of post-partisanship, we are taking another look at California's performance in implementing federal welfare reform. The performance results are mixed. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You know, Arnold had a lot of pretty words for being for a partisanship when he was sworn in last week. But is he just reverting to being a typical Republican? Richard in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Richard.
Oh, hi, Enid. My comment is, yes, that's insane. It's contrary to all other so-called welfare systems. I have a relative on disability. If she makes too much money, her relatives have to get together and pay about $2 she made over whatever limit it is. My wife is on Social Security, and she made too much money, and they cut her Social Security. You know, cut it completely.
Well, you're breaking up a little bit. So you're saying what, bottom line?
Besides being insane, it's opposite of all other welfare programs that the state or the feds have. So I can't even, is this a law? Is it actually going
this
to
is happen? What, no, well, he's unveiling it, as, and it will be debated, but he's unveiling this proposal on Wednesday, and interestingly enough, they leaked it 2 days in advance.
Well,
they leaked this part of it. This part of it 2 days in advance. I wonder if to offset the announcement about universal insurance coverage. I don't know, but they want to look like they're being hard on welfare recipients. But what they're doing is they're taking it out on the children, Richard, which strikes me as horrible. 349-1320, Randy in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Good. Hey, just a real quick comment. With regards to the Arnold's bait and switch, as I see it, this is just typical Republican, the grandstanding on the good things. They look at me, I'm such a great guy, I'm being a centrist, I'm helping the people out, all that sort of thing, and then, turn right around and kind of in a backroom deal, so it ends up as a wash for the poor of this state. I just heard this from you. Thank you for that. And it really upsets me because I was hopeful that Arnold was going to move to the center a little bit more. He has been fairly central, but it strikes me as just typical Republican, for the poor second-class citizens, and, let's just throw them a bone and then take it back.
There's all plenty of money for tax cuts for the richest Americans. Randy, I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to... My question is, here's Arnold. He wants to expand health care coverage for uninsured kids and all the uninsured in California. It's a convoluted system he wants to propose. At the same time, he wants to slash the welfare benefits for kids if their parents won't work. Well, can a kid control whether the parents are going to work or not? Does a kid have any control over that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have traffic going on slow. Southbound 99 just past what looks like 47th Avenue. You know the snake there when you get off 50 and you're headed towards San Francisco. We have a three-car crash right there. As well, I-80 on the way to Roseville and Madison Avenue. We have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Don't miss Paul.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Earl. Well, the swearing in anyway. I don't know to what extent that was considered the inaugural, but the gala, the inaugural gala was that evening, and they didn't let the press in there, just some pool coverage. But there were very pretty words that Schnorzy gave us about partisanship and how we can all work together and so on. But the reality is that what he wants to do here is extend health care coverage to everybody in the state of California. It's a very convoluted system, though, that he wants to employ, one that really won't disturb the insurers too greatly or discomfort them very much, but will require docs to give up 2% of their gross revenues. It will require employers, if you have 10 workers or more, you're going to have to insure them all or pay into a fund. At the same time, Schnorzy wants to cut welfare for kids if their parents don't want to work. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Marlene in Santa Fe. Are you calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico? Marlene?
Marlene?
Yeah, welcome.
I'm from Granite Bay.
Oh, Granite Bay. Okay, sorry. It's it's a Santa Fe. But close enough.
My comment is about Arnold's proposed policy to cut welfare to families where the parents aren't working, and I think that it's very bad policy because that's assuming that the parents do not want to work, and there are many, many individuals who are on welfare who are not employable. Before I retired, I was a manager in Health and Human Services for Sacramento County, and I planned health and welfare programs in Meadowview, Oak Park, Del Paso Heights, and almost to the person, every single person that I talk to who's on welfare wants to work, but many of them are not employable. They don't have the skills. Many of them have mental illnesses. Some are so addicted to drugs that, yes, they may provide drug treatment, but their addiction is just so intense and so strong that they relapse, and many are not employable. Now, the federal government allows the state to exempt a certain percentage of the welfare caseload because they understand that there are many individuals who cannot work. And so I think a more compassionate policy that he could have is to maybe relax or lessen the criteria for those parents who he says are not going to work. Maybe they can't work, and maybe the more compassionate thing to do is look at what is the criteria for that.
Well, wait a minute. Now, what about the people? So you're talking about a population that wants to work and simply can't. They're unemployable.
Yes. I mean,
they have mental issues. They have addiction issues and so forth.
Don't have the skills.
Don't have the skills. What about people who would like to work and can't get the job either?
Those
have been outsourced. What you've trained for doesn't exist anymore the way you knew it.
Exactly. Many of them do not have the education, they don't have the skills, and no matter what kind of training you give them, it's not going to take. And the thing is, and to the person, and I know you have a lot of conservative listeners out there, but to the person that I've talked to who is on welfare, everybody wants to work. They want the dignity of a job. They want the dignity of being able to support themselves and their families. And they just, I mean, if you think about the discipline that it takes to get to work every day, I mean, to set your alarm clock, go to bed, get up, you know, and all, I mean, that we all take that for granted. But there are some people who don't even know how to do those basic things. And to me, the more compassionate thing to do would be to look at what the requirements are and maybe expand the exemption and look at perhaps what Phil Angelides wanted to do is raise the taxes on the top 1 or 2% and then be able to fund that sort of thing. And the other thing is, if you cut off these families from welfare, there are studies that show that there is a correlation that the more the family is in poverty, the higher risk the family is for child abuse and other types of family violence. And so you are setting these children up for all kinds of things, and then the cycle continues. And so where does it end?
Well, and not only family violence, but I should think also crime.
That's right.
I don't know if there's a high correlation, but I would think that there might be.
Yes. I mean, there's all kinds of secondary problems that come from families going more and more into poverty. And the other thing I want to say that's related to this, you know, I've worked with a lot of welfare clients, and I like them, and I know a lot of people have a lot of heavy judgment. And when I saw the paper on Saturday, pictures of the Kennedys and Arnold in the newspaper celebrating the inaugural, that's fine, but these people are like billionaires. How do they know what it's like to put food on the table, to really earn a living?
Well, to Arnold's credit, I will say that he has been described as coming to this country, and he has described it himself on also published reports, so I'm assuming it's true, that he came to this country with not much money in his pocket.
Well, I understand that.
So he came, he didn't have anything when he came in, so I think he knows. I don't know if he still remembers what that was like, but I think he at least had the experience of it. I can't imagine that Maria Shriver ever had that experience.
No.
Although they have always been strong champions. Her mother had a big reputation in Chicago for setting up the Special Olympics, doing all kinds of really socially responsible kinds
right.
of... So although she didn't have the experience of poverty, her heart was always in the right place.
That's right. I understand that.
Yeah. So
you know what? My advice to Arnold would be to get out and meet the people and go out into these high-risk areas and see what it's like. To be on welfare.
How much are you going to see, though? He's going to come with his security detail. Here's what I'm hearing about Arnold. He not only has a security detail, but when he gets into the Chevy Suburban or whatever they used to transport him, he now requires motorcycle outriders on either side. And apparently it's not necessarily for security. I mean, it's the imperial governor. I don't know. So when he and the motorcycle outriders from the CHP pull up to your house, vroom, 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 and they come in and they share some pozole or a couple of burritos or something, believe me, he's not going to get the true picture.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Yeah. But Marlene, I like your insight a lot. So your suggestion is we need to provide more of a safety net, not less.
Well, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. What are your thoughts about what Marlene had to say? Here's what I know. Life is competitive, and it's not easy. Life is not easy, even though we're on the other hand, you know, we're sold the idea that life is easy. And if it's not easy, we have a lot of pills you can take to make it easier. We're also sold the idea that life isn't boring, even though it can be very boring, and a series takes you a while to plateau into some area, and you're there for a while, and boring, 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 and then you get into another plateau, and you're there for a while, boring, boring, boring. But that's sort of how life works. But not if you watch television and watch a lot of movies. In television, and certainly in commercials, it's a series of peak experiences. You see the party. You see the celebration for the party. You don't see the tedious shopping for the party. You don't see the even more tedious cleanup of the party. You don't hear the tedious wondering whether anybody's going to come to your party. You just see a series of peak moments, and you compare your life to this. And life is hard. And it's very hard in a society where there's not a lot of support. We don't have the social safety net that we probably had in this country, even probably maybe 20 or 30 years ago. We had, I think, more of a station. We certainly had more of a community. So if things happened, the community came together a little bit, or you had friends. But I think we have less and less community life. We're more and more disengaged. And the more disengaged we're more disengaged because we feel like we're independent contractors out there trying to do our jobs. There isn't the same job security or pension system that there was in this country. You can have a job. You can work a lot of hours in a week. You don't have any health insurance, which is would be a huge relief to know that you have. If you are a worker in this country. So think about it. When you are so stressed out, when you have so many responsibilities on your shoulder, when you know there's not much of a safety net, to have one thing at least taken off the table, you can just breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, my goodness, I have health insurance now. Oh, that's good. Or I know I have a guarantee of some work here for a while. Oh, that's good. You know, and you can start. And when you are not so stressed, I think you really are much more productive as a citizen and as a worker. The more stressed you are, I think you become more and more brittle. You know, we're all running around more and more and more in a circle. But as you are more comfortable, as you feel you have some support, then I think you are able to accomplish more. And one of the great accomplishments of this country is that we are amazingly energetic as a society. We have done so much, but we are now really probably at a breaking point, I think, because, you know, even if you go into big offices, a lot of big officers and companies don't have secretaries the way they once did. People don't have the same help that they once did in the office. They don't have a lot of safety net. So here's Arnold on the one hand trying to provide health care for everybody and for uninsured children, regardless of whether they're here legally. And on the other hand, he wants to slap them with welfare cuts. You explain that to me. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Lows tonight, 36. Snow. I believe we're going to be a little bit Denver. So, everyone, I just, when it happens, I believe maybe even Wednesday night and Thursday, you know, the roads are going to be a lot of fun. Four-wheel drive, I doubt it'll get that bad. But wouldn't that be cool? 58 degrees we're sitting at here in the River City. Traffic south on 99 a little slow. Right past Fruit Ridge Road, 47th. That accident did get cleaned up. Madison Avenue at Manzanita, we have a two-car crash. And Florin High School, there's a hit and run, no injuries, but emergency vehicles are blocking the lanes over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hello,
about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Talk to Enid now, 349-1320.
.456 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 o'clock. Let's head over to the phones. We're talking about Arnold wanting to insure kids at the same time he wants to cut their welfare in case their parents don't want to work. Jane in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I wanted to say I'm also a retiree from the welfare system. I worked for the Department of Human Assistance, and a bitter joke in the department was they have a high school diploma and they can't even read it. And we have a lot of functionally illiterate people who appear to have at least the basic qualification of a high school diploma, but because of social passing that's been in effect in California for so many years, a lot of these people really cannot read.
So they're not employable.
No, absolutely
not employable. Jane, thanks very much for calling. 349-1320. Steve in Calaveras. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I listened to your show, and there's one area of topic that struck me kind of strange is Maria Shriver.
A U.S. military strike in southern Somalia may have taken out some top al-Qaeda figures. CBS News national security correspondent David Martin broke the story. He reports an attack by an Air Force AC-130 gunship left a lot of bodies on the ground. Martin says the targets had been under surveillance for at least several days.
The U.S. Began planning an airstrike and using Predator drones to keep them under surveillance. And the targets that they were going after included the chief of Al-Qaeda operations in East Africa and another Al-Qaeda operative who was wanted in connection with the 1998 bombings of the two American embassies in Africa.
The Al-Qaeda group had been routed from Mogadishu, the Somali capital. Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland, the CBS News military consultant, notes the strike was launched from a U.S. base in Djibouti.
The AC-130 would have had to fly over Ethiopian airspace. So to some degree, the Ethiopian government, who has supported the Somali government, must have at least been knowledgeable of this. And obviously it shows the United States' support for the new government in Somalia, as well as obviously our effort to take out Al-Qaeda.
The identities of those killed have not yet been confirmed. From the White House, CBS News correspondent Mark Nola reports President Bush will address the nation Wednesday evening, outlining his plan for turning things around in Iraq.
Above all else, the new strategy is expected to call for a surge in the number of U.S. combat troops in Iraq, in the range of 20,000 more Army soldiers and Marines. Their mission will be to clamp down on the sectarian violence ravaging the area in and around Baghdad.
A CBS News poll finds deep skepticism about sending more troops.
Most Americans, 52%, want the U.S. to start ending its involvement in Iraq, and that's something only 6% expect President Bush to do.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says 55% of those polled don't believe a troop surge would stabilize Baghdad. The Democratic leaders in Congress are against it. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says we've got to start bringing our folks home. As its first order of business under Democratic leadership, the House took up ethics reform. Today, CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports senators went to work on similar proposals.
The Senate will spend all week on the bill and pass it, says Democratic leader Harry Reid.
At the end of the day, the Senate will pass the most sweeping reforms since Watergate.
They're aimed at ending the junkets and free meals paid for by lobbyists and others looking for favors, ending the cushy rides on corporate jets, and the practice of secretly sticking millions of dollars into spending bills for special projects. Voters, says Democrat Russ Feingold, are sick of it.
They find this disgusting. It destroys their faith and everything else we want to do.
The Democratic House passed much of this already in the form of rules changes last week. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
A 25-point gain for the Dow today. It closed at 12,423. The Nasdaq up 3 points. This is CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents football superstar Jerry Rice.
Foxtrot. I can't believe I'm dancing with Jerry Rice.
I can't believe dancing is as hard as playing wide receiver.
Tango.
I'm sorry.
You okay?
Yeah. How do you manage all the aches and pain?
Tiger Balm.
Really?
Tiger Balm works fast and lasts a long time.
Samba.
Whoa. Oh, sorry. I'm such a klutz.
Maybe we should stop.
Nope. Just get me some Tiger Balm.
You sure?
Just get me the Tiger Balm.
If you suffer from aches and pains, go for the balm. Tiger Balm. Now in a convenient, easy-to-apply patch. At drugstores, mass discount stores, supermarkets, and health food stores everywhere.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. Is orange juice part of your morning routine? I switched to Welch's 100% grape juice because it has twice the antioxidant power of orange juice. And you may have heard a diet naturally rich in antioxidants is good for you. Not only does drinking Welch's 100% grape juice help promote a healthy heart, but emerging research suggests it may help to protect memory and brain health as well. And it's nice to know Welch's is made from Concord grapes grown right here in America by Welch's farmer owners. So drink Welch's 100% grape juice for an unmistakably delicious way to add antioxidants to your diet. This is Charles Osgood. See you on the Osgood File.
Van Halen is making the jump into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. CBS News correspondent Nick Young has more.
Along with Van Halen, this year's inductees include Patti Smith and R.E.M.
That was just a dream that corner.
And the Ronettes will join the elite. Along with Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
My brother's doing fast on my mother's TV. Says she watches too much. It's just not healthy.
The induction ceremonies for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will be held in New York City on May the 12th. Nick Young, CBS News.
A New Hampshire man rejected as a finalist on The Apprentice is suing Donald Trump, claiming age discrimination. Richard Hewitt is 49. In court papers, he says only two finalists in six seasons have been over the age of 40. Trump responds that very few people over a certain age apply to be on the show. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS.
AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Let it come, if you don't leave, go behind, wave my hand, wave my hand.
5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to the third hour of Enid Live. Yours until 7, 3 to 7, right here on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And I have some good news that I can open with. We are going to be joined. If you are just joining us right now, we have spent a lot of time talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger's big health care plan that he has unveiled, where he wants to ensure all Californians, and especially children, whether they're legal or they're not legal. At the same time, he wants to cut welfare for kids whose parents won't work, like the kids have any control over whether their parents won't work or not. And the one bill that we think makes the most sense of all, single-payer universal health care bills and conversation we've seen, has been State Senator Sheila Kuehl's bill, SB 840. And aren't we lucky? Senator Kuehl is going to join us tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about it, because we've got this business that Arnold is floating around. And I want to know how it will work with the insurance companies, what the insurance company's role in it. Right now, if you have what Arnold is proposing, and I guess everybody's against it, he's going to alienate a lot of different groups. If you are a doctor, they want you to pay into the pot 2% of your gross revenues. If you're a hospital, you've got to pay 4%. If you're an employer and you have 10 or more people on staff, you've got to provide them with health insurance, or else you have to pay into a fund. If you're Medi-Cal, the $4 billion is going to be made available, but nobody knows how. If you are from an impoverished family, you're going to get something, but we're not sure how that's going to happen. I mean, the whole thing is kind of convoluted. At the same time, Arnold wants to cut welfare for children whose parents won't work, and if the parents are here illegally and they've been here for 5 years and they still haven't made any attempt to make themselves legal, well, guess what? they're gonna cut your welfare. I don't know. There's something here that's very odd, and you might want to comment. This is what we've been discussing, and I want to add to the conversation. And before I do, let me tell you how you can participate in the conversation. If you're new to us, or if you don't remember what the phone numbers are, here they are. Easy to remember. And completely free to participate. And the more of you who call in, the more interesting, the more vibrant, the fuller, the more compelling the conversation. If you're in the 916 area code, the number is 349-1320. And if you're not, 866-626-1320, 349-1320, and 866-626-1320. And what we know is that most of you never have called this show. As many callers as we have, and we have quite a lot of callers, most of you who listen to the show, 99.9% of you have never called, because you don't. You listen and you don't call talk shows. But think about doing it, because we would love to have your takes on various issues that we're discussing. And you can email me, enid@kctc.com, plus we stream live. So you can be anywhere in this universe, and you can still be, you could be at work, you could be at home working, at work working, and we are great company for you as you're going about your other tasks. Have us on in the background if you're doing other things in the foreground. 1320leftchannel.com. 1320leftchannel.com. And of course, you know the frequency is 1320. The dial position is at 1320 AM. Okay. We are talking about health care. We're talking about if you are a small business owner, how is this going to affect you? If you're an insurer, if you're a doc and you have to give 2% of your gross revenues, how is this going to affect you? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're also talking about the fact that Deborah Bowen was sworn in today, and she's going to reevaluate all the voting machines in the state of California, even those that have already been certified by her predecessor. And she's appointed somebody who's been a huge critic of the way the voting machines were certified to oversee certain aspects of what she wants to accomplish. So that all sounds like a really good start. The President is going to give he's commandeering time from the networks on Wednesday night, because he wants to talk about what he wants to do in Iraq. And I'm not sure he knows what he wants to do in Iraq. He wants to, they're still calling it a surge. It's an escalation, no matter what you want to say about it. And he wants to put 20,000 more troops into Iraq. And there is a huge backlash that's beginning to form, I think. Now, I don't know if anybody's got, you know, he is the commander-in-chief, and it doesn't matter. Joe Biden said over the weekend that he really couldn't cut off his spending, that there's not a way to really do it. But maybe there is a way to do it. Nancy Pelosi said that she has said that there is no, over the weekend on the Sunday morning show, she says there's no justification for sending 20,000 more troops to Iraq. President Bush will address the nation at 9 p.m.,
Eastern time on Wednesday, and that would be 6 p.m. our time on Wednesday, and we're going to see about whether or not we can bring you that address to the nation live, but that would be at 6 p.m. Eastern Wednesday night about his new approach to the war in Iraq, said the White House. Bush is expected to announce an increase of up to 20,000 U.S. troops. Bush's decisions, more than 2 months in the making, already are drawing criticism from new Democratic leaders and Congress who say it's time to begin ending the war, not to send in more troops. Now in its fourth year, this war that was going to be over in 10 or 15 minutes, remember that war? We'll be in and out in a month, remember that war? They'll be greeting us with flowers in the streets, remember that war? Has claimed the lives of more than 3,000 members of the U.S. military. And I don't know, I've seen figures of 20,000 or so Iraqis, even higher than that. I've seen them in the hundreds of thousands, so I don't really know what the numbers are. But it has been massive in terms of everything that we stood for, in terms of our goodwill, in terms of lives, in terms of our treasure, in terms of everything. It has been a massive expenditure, and there hasn't been we never had a strategy for it. It was all a public relations thing. Everything about this administration is all about public relations. So that's what this was about. It would take more than 20,000 troops, says Frank Rich. Not the 20,000 we might scrape together now. Last month, the Army and Marines issued an updated field manual on counterinsurgency, supervised by none other than Lieutenant General David Petraeus, the next top American military commander in Iraq. It endorsed the formula that 20 counterinsurgents per 1,000 residents is the minimum troop density. By that yardstick, it would take the addition of 100,000 plus troops to secure Baghdad alone. 100,000 plus troops to secure Baghdad alone. The surge then is a sham, writes Frank Rich in the New York Times. It is not meant to achieve that undefined victory that Bush keeps talking about, but to serve his own political spin. His real mission is to float the we're not winning, we're not losing status quo until January 20th, 2009. After that, as Joe Biden put it last week, a new president will be the guy landing the helicopters inside the green zone, taking people off the roof. This is nothing but a replay of the cynical Nixon-Kissinger decent interval exit strategy concocted to pass a political buck to Mr. Ford, as it happened on Vietnam. In other words, they just want some kind of an interim stretch so that they can dump all this into the lap of whoever Dickey's successor is. They're not going to fix it on their watch. 20,000 is a sham. 20,000 is too many, but it would take at least 100,000 to do it if any of these formulas are correct. And Frank Rich continues. As the White House tries to sell this flim-flam picture, fresh American troops being tossed into Baghdad's cauldron to work alongside the Maliki Sadr Shiite lynch mob that presided over the Saddam hanging, contemplate as well Gerald Ford's most famous words, spoken as he assumed the presidency after Nixon's resignation. Quote, "Our Constitution works. Our great republic is a government of laws and not of men. Here the people rule." This time, says Frank Rich, the people do not rule. 2 months after Americans spoke decisively on Election Day, the president is determined to overrule them. Our long national nightmare in Iraq, far from being over, is about to get a second wind. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, it's not going to take 20,000, it's going to take 100,000 plus, and that's just to secure Baghdad. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. This is just a ploy, Joe Biden thinks, by this administration. Even Cheney knows, he says, we've lost. It's just to pass the buck until the next guy gets into office, and that person will be stuck. What are your thoughts about that? Janice in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I'm out here visiting family. Got sick. I don't know if you can understand me. But I think this escalation of the current president is insane. It just proves how greedy and off the beam he is mentally and emotionally. I'm just appalled. But as to the governor now, I lived here several years ago, and it reminds me, this plant, he's got a name for it yet, Schwarzenegger. I bet he's going to call it something like the Healthy Child Program.
The No Child Left Behind, its insurance program?
Yeah, and he has no intention. They'll never pass the benefit part. They'll only come after the cuts with the welfare. And it's like Reagan did when he was governor. He closed all the big male hospitals because he said what would be best for them would be to have small neighborhood clinics and care centers where their families could visit them, and it would be cheaper and so much better for all of them. Well, he closed all the mental hospitals, all right, but somehow never got around to funding those local clinics, those local small hospitals, and that's when suddenly California was awash with homeless people. And it's this is the same, smells exactly the same.
Janice, I thank you very much for the call. I hope you're feeling better. 349-1320, 866-620-6-1320. Another Janice, this one from Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Janice.
Yeah, it's the other Janice.
Another
really
Janice.
Funny. I heard you take the call and I thought it was me. But, yeah, my point getting back to Iraq is I do feel, you know, the financial route of stopping the funding is number one. But on a person-to-person basis, if our reservists refused to show up for their mobilization and really took the brave step of choosing to be incarcerated rather than murdered by the Iraqis, we may actually be able to, person by person, make a difference. Unfortunately, I'm not a member of the military, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But just as a citizen who cares about our members of the military, I don't want to send them to their deaths.
No, who does? But the president's, one of his themes on Wednesday night is going to be sacrifice.
Well,
he's happy to sacrifice. I don't see his kids getting on the plane to Baghdad.
Well,
they're busy doing the tango in Argentina with guys who are unemployed but very cute and love that the girls have their own credit cards.
That's right. And if they have to incarcerate 20,000 troops or at least 5,000 of them, then they're going to be thinking about what does that stand up and mean? So that's really my
that's
point.
That's your point. Okay. Well, it's certainly an intriguing thought. Janice, thanks very much for sharing it. 3-4. What do you think about what Janice has to say, that the guys, or men and women who are supposed to be shipped off to Iraq, many of them are probably already there and their tours of duty will be extended. But instead of, she's recommending that they don't show up or that they go, oh, well, what are your thoughts about that? Will that work? Or is that only much more complicated? CBS News is reporting that a U.S. Air Force gunship has conducted a strike against suspected members of Al-Qaeda in the African nation of Somalia. So I guess we have expanded. We're now zooming around Somalia looking for Al-Qaeda and going after them. And I guess we don't have enough to keep us busy in Iraq, and now we're in Somalia, allegedly looking for Al-Qaeda. Somebody made the point, and let me just share this with you. As you know, I covered the Schwarzenegger swearing in on Friday, and everything went later than it was supposed to, and so it meant that we had to really run back here and get it all together very quickly for you. Which, with our crack staff, our staff on crack, we were able to do. Everybody did a really good job, and we all had to hustle around, but it got done. And later in the broadcast, I had John Elliott on as my guest. He was, you hear him here on Air America, he's an Air America radio guy, and you hear him following my show from 7 to 9 on AM 1320. And he, of course, has a national show, and it's also heard on XM Satellite Radio. And he was my guest for a while, and I was supposed to be his guest for a while, but I wound up being his guest for the whole 2 hours of his program. And there was a person who called in from Southern California and made, I thought, an excellent point. And the point was this. When it happened on Bill Clinton's watch that there was terrorism activity, it did not become a war on terror. It was the bombing of the initial bombing of the World Trade Center, and whatever terrorist activity happened on Bill Clinton's watch, it was treated as a criminal matter. You go after those people, you haul them to court, you treat them as a criminal matter. But 9/11 became a war on terrorism. This would be a never-ending war on terrorism. This would be used to justify everything and anything that the administration wanted to do. And that is exactly what has happened. Instead of being treated as a criminal matter, we'll go after whoever was on top of this thing. It became a war on terrorism that will not cease and is never ending. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. It became a way for us to be manipulated And fear was used to manipulate us. And it didn't matter what the subject is. Fear is used to manipulate us. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Marvelous Merry Monday, actually. What do you think about that?
It's a lot of M's. Is there a reason for so many M's?
Well, we just want M and M's because we all have fabulous Friday and lucky Tuesday. So it's Marvelous Monday.
Okay.
And I like the traffic. It's pretty marvelous as well. I mean, some slowdowns in our normal spots. Eastbound 50 just east of north on Watt Avenue. We do have a hit and run. And looks like Schwarzenegger's in the roadway at Prairie City Road, just north of White Rock Road. Poor little doggy. We'll get him out of the way. Just stay clear of him. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
It's Enid Live, doing full frontal talk radio. AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I can't wait to hear the rest of the show.
Don't miss Paul.
At Cash Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things and going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal internet, that is you and me. You and me is tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. 5:25 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays, and we have one line open. So grab it, somebody. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The lines will open up, but it's your chance to jump in. And we're talking about health care. We're talking about terrorism. We're talking about the president's speech on Wednesday night, which we're going to try and carry for you live right here on AM 1320. Let's go to the phones. Jason in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. How you doing?
Doing well.
I was going to agree basically with the comment that you made that from the caller from Southern California about terrorism should something that's dealt with by police organizations. If you remember about 6 months ago when we had the terrorism thing that was broken up in London, that was done all by Scotland Yard and their intelligence services, which, you know, is like the equivalent of our FBI and CIA. Rather than using military and politicians, you know, they handled it by police and intelligence organizations.
Yeah, yes, exactly right. When you are trying to solve these kinds of issues, you need the help of your colleagues. That's why when we went in and we alienated so many of our allies, these kinds of terror investigations are extensive. They don't know national boundaries. And you really need to have the close cooperation of a lot of intelligence and police organizations so that the detective work can be done. It's a big detective puzzle is what it is.
And not only that, have you ever got a definitive answer as to, or definition as to what a terrorist is? I mean, anybody I ask to define that for me, no one can give me a clear answer.
I think the president and Dick Cheney, the two dicks running the country, probably qualify.
Exactly.
That's what I think. And we'll be hearing more of their harebrained ideas on Wednesday night. Jason, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Lucinda in Lodi. Hi, you're live with Ina.
Hello.
Hi, Lucinda.
I heard you say that all businesses who have more than 6 employees have to provide health insurance for them. Is that right?
10 employees.
Oh, 10 employees.
Yeah. Is that your business, Lucinda?
No, I just have a question. Does this include Walmart by any chance? The biggest retailer in America and quite possibly the biggest retailer in the world?
Do they need to provide health insurance for more than 10 employees?
Yes, they have to provide health insurance, don't they?
Well, I think it's more complicated. They have to provide it, but I don't know how it works for somebody like Walmart. Walmart certainly provides it, but they have all the rules about how long you have to work and how many hours you put in. And if you are not going to insure those employees, what the state, this is now, so far not law yet. This is just Arnold's proposal. But what is being proposed in the state of California is, I think, 4%, you have to contribute 4% of their salary. Let me see if I can find the exact wording. 4% of their salary, I believe, to a particular fund. You have to contribute a certain amount of money to a particular fund.
I want everybody to know that 60% of all U.S. corporations pay no income taxes at all. Zero. Nothing. Nothing. And I was just wondering how many of our social, political, and economic problems could be solved if these corporations were finally forced to pay their fair share. And I was wondering, do you think
4% of the payroll This is Schwarzenegger's plan. If you have a company that has 10 or more workers, you're required to provide health insurance for your workers or else pay a fee of 4% of the payroll into a program to help provide coverage for the uninsured.
But I was wondering, why doesn't anybody do anything to force these corporations to pay their share of income taxes? Because the rest of us, we have to pay taxes. Why not them?
Why not them? Because they have employed squadrons of lobbyists. They've made huge political contributions. They have managed to skew the system in their favor. And why is it that somebody else is supposed to do this, Lucinda? If you are interested, are you involved politically?
I think everybody should be.
But are you?
I'm trying to be.
You are? And how are you expressing this besides calling Enid live, which we're thrilled that you are doing? And we're thrilled for your passion.
I'm a consumer activist. I want to find out.
How are you a consumer activist? Are you part of any kind of MoveOn.org? Did you vote in the last election?
I'm a member of Co-op America.
Did you vote in the last election?
Yes, I did.
Okay, that's a good thing. So you know what? You got to roll up your sleeves. You got to contribute. You've got to volunteer your time. And you got to write a check every once in a while if you're able to do it. And that's how you do it. Instead of saying, how come nobody else is, then if they're not, then you be the one to do it, Lucinda.
I think what really works is if we as consumers boycott these corporations. We find out who they are and we boycott them.
Well, maybe what we do is we do oversight as well. Instead of just being angry about it, we need to use our heads. And we need to do some oversight. We need to look at the laws about lobbying. We need to get some lawsuits in place and do a lot of things. Just being a consumer boycott is too easy and it won't solve the problem. It's maybe a little bit of solving the problem, but it's you've got to be more proactive. That would be my advice to you, and I thank you for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-3. How come nobody else is doing anything like that? John in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi. I want to talk about the fear factor here because it just facilitates everything that Republicans are doing in office, like the buildup in the Gulf of Iran. And, this fear factor just makes everybody bend over.
Well, why does everybody still keep buying it? It's so old. We are so over this fear factor. Why is everybody still biting on that?
Everybody's afraid. I mean, and wait till the economy hits rock bottom, and then you'll really see how people get really afraid. Because the plan, the PNAC, the plan for a new American century is to bankrupt America. And have everybody begging at anybody's doors for a peanut. So slowly but surely, they're destroying what America...
Well, slowly but surely, they're destroying it. And that part I agree with. I don't know if the plan is for us to be begging for peanuts from each other. But peanuts is how I would assess the president's mental state or mental competence. John, thank you. 349-1320. John, another John in Sacramento. Hi, John. You're live with Enid.
Yes, I believe that... The reason why Bush went into Iraq is because he knew that Israel was going to go and bomb Iran, and he knew that North Korea would get involved then, and we need position. And that's the reason why he thinks he's going to come out a hero in the end, because without this position, all hell will break loose in the Middle East.
He is making all hell break loose, number one, by doing what we have done. We're sort of stuck there. The Saudis don't want us to leave. They threaten us if we do. And there are going to be meetings next week. The Los Angeles Times is reporting on what to do about the oil fields, and we're right in there with our hands out. We're going to just try and commandeer them. Thanks, John. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Well, I have a brand new CBS News poll. And I am going to share it with you, and it's kind of interesting. More as we continue, and you can join the conversation. Dickie is going to give us a speech on Wednesday night telling us why he needs 20,000 more troops in Iraq. And if you're really going to do anything, 20,000 doesn't begin to address the problem. By a formula that the military has devised, you need at least 100,000 plus just to secure Baghdad. So 20,000 is peanuts, but not to the lives that are going to be on the line here going to Iraq. And Joe Biden believes that all of this is just to run the clock out until somebody else is elected president so that they don't have to declare a defeat. We're not losing, but we're not winning, says this administration, so that they don't have to declare a defeat. What are your thoughts about that? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Yeah, Enid, there's some people running around there. Prairie City Road just north of White Rock Road. They're running around in the middle of the roadway trying to find a cow. What do you think about that?
A cow? How do you know they're looking for a cow?
They're looking for the cow.
Maybe they're looking for a terrorist.
Is the word I'm looking for.
A cow has run amok.
A cow has run amok.
Oh, my goodness. Could be a politician.
I was curious to know how you felt about that cow. Eastbound 50, by Zinfandel, actually, on westbound, there's a two-car crash. Northbound Cap City Freeway at Marconi Avenue and our cow. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong. Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
This is News 10 Now on Sunny Day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Al-Qaeda cell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's terror. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpot start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it,
bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
More buzz than an afternoon caffeine break. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. A liberal dose of the truth applied daily.
On the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. We're talking about Bush's speech on Wednesday night, where it is announced that he's going to be trying to sell a surge, an escalation, really, to the American public. And what Frank Rich is saying is that according to a military formula, and one that's really considered quite good, you need at least 100,000 people just to secure Baghdad alone, 100,000 more people. So it's not going to work. 20,000 is not going to do it. And we all knew that anyway, but having these additional this additional information is helpful. And what you have is guys like Joe Biden saying, hey, the only thing they want to do is they know that this is lost. What they're trying to do is run out the clock so the defeat doesn't happen on Dickey's watch. Meanwhile, Dick Cheney is out shooting today. He's out hunting somewhere in Pennsylvania. If anybody has a comment they want to make about that, we'd love to have it. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And here's the CBS News poll. Just out, fresh off the press, the war in Iraq. Most Americans expect President Bush to change U.S. strategy in the Iraq war, a war they continue to believe is going badly for the U.S. Two in three think that removing the now-executed dictator Saddam Hussein from power was not worth the cost. And I'm going to share some information about his last moments, too. What Americans want to see happen with the U.S. Iraq strategy is not the same as what they expect the president will actually do. And the general idea of a short-term increase in troops in Baghdad, a plan that the president will reportedly announce Wednesday, meets mixed reviews right now. 43% of Americans want the U.S. to keep fighting the war but make changes in overall strategy, and 55% think that is what President Bush will actually do. But most Americans, 52%, want the U.S. to start ending its involvement in Iraq, something only 6% expect will happen, while only 3% want the U.S. to keep fighting with the same strategies as now. 35% think the president will stay the same course. The reddest of the red states in this country, in Utah, they're not supporting the war anymore. More people do not support the war than support the war. So I think that should tell you something. And there's some gossip going around in cocktail party circles in Washington. A new rumor straight from the insidious Washington cocktail party, that John Negroponte has become a Deputy Secretary of State as preparation to replace Condi Rice when she leaves her job. Well, why would she do that? To take over for, quote, ailing Dick Cheney as vice president. Sure, Cheney resignation rumors are about as old as the Bush presidency, but one well-informed person said that while he doesn't think this will actually happen, he also does not dismiss it out of hand. I thought it was kind of juicy, so I thought I would share it with you. So here is Bush going to have to justify himself in order for Congress to consider his impending request to send 20,000 more troops to Iraq. Is he going to do it? Is he going to wind up making the sale, or is he just going to say, screw you, I don't have to make the sale. I am the commander-in-chief. I'm sending these people in. It doesn't matter what you have to say or not. And then, in the matter of Saddam Hussein, information is coming out about Saddam Hussein, and supposedly there is, excuse me, video I'm coughing. New video, but it's coming from Fox, so I don't know how much we can trust it. But a graphic new video surfaced today on the web, appearing to show the body of Saddam Hussein immediately after he was hanged a little more than a week ago. The 27-second video posted on Google appears to show Saddam's body on a gurney, covered with a bloodied white shroud that is removed so the person videotaping, possibly with a cell phone camera, has a clear shot at the head and neck. A large and gaping wound is visible on the neck. A large and gaping wound is visible on the neck. So I don't know what that's from. If you have been hanged by the neck, would you have a large and gaping wound? Maybe you would. I don't know if they're trying to allege that it's a gunshot. I don't know. But a large and gaping wound on the neck. And then the New York Times did this really long piece on the days before the hanging of Saddam Hussein. In the days before he was being they were contemplating the execution, the U.S. tried to push back. They didn't want it, and they didn't want it right away. When American soldiers woke Saddam Hussein in his cell near Baghdad airport at 3:55 a.m. last Saturday, they told him to dress for a journey to Baghdad. See, I don't think he even knew that the day was coming. He thought it was farther down the line. And they didn't tell him why they were taking him to Baghdad, at least not initially. This was 3:55 in the morning. They told him to dress for a journey to Baghdad. He had followed the routine dozens of times before, traveling by helicopter in the pre-dawn darkness to the courtroom where he spent 14 months on trial for his life. When his cell lights were dimmed on Friday night, Mr. Hussein may have hoped that he would live a few days longer and perhaps cheat the hangman altogether. According to Task Force 134, the American military unit responsible for all Iraqi detainees, Hussein, quote, had heard some of the rumors on the radio about potential execution dates, but never one to understate his own importance, he had told his lawyers for months that the Americans might spare him in the end for negotiations to end the insurgency whose daily bombings rattled his cell block windows. As Hussein prepared to walk out into the chill of the desert winter, dressed in a tailored black overcoat, that last illusion was shattered. After being roused and told that he was being transferred to Iraqi custody, a task force statement emailed to the New York Times later revealed he immediately indicated that he knew the execution would soon follow. As he left the detention area, he thanked the guards and medics for the treatment he had received. Hussein was then driven to a waiting Black Hawk helicopter for a 10-minute flight to the prison in northern Baghdad, where a party of Iraqi officials awaited him at the gallows. During this brief period of transfer, Saddam Hussein appeared more serious, the task force said. The time as his helicopter took off was 5:05 a.m., and Hussein had 65 minutes to live. But as he flew over Baghdad's darkened suburbs, he can have known little of the last-minute battle waged between top Iraqi and American officials and among the Americans themselves over whether the execution, fraught with legal ambiguities and Islamic religious sensitivities, should go forward. American opposition to executing Saddam Hussein in haste centered partly on the fact that the Eid al-Adha religious holiday, marking the end of the annual Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca, began for Sunnis at sunrise on Saturday. In Baghdad, the sun was to rise at 7:06 a.m. Iraqi government officials had promised the hanging would be over before the dawn light began seeping through the palms that shade the capital's streets. The taunts Hussein endured from Shiite guards as he stood with a noose around his neck have made headlines around the world and stirred angry protests among fellow Iraqi Sunnis. But the story of how American commanders and diplomats fought to halt the execution until midnight on Friday, only 6 hours before Hussein was hanged, is now only coming into focus as Iraqi and American officials, in the glare of international outrage over the hanging, compete with their various versions of what actually happened. So there was a lot of back and forth. The Americans didn't want it to happen, and it did happen. I think that the price that we're going to pay for that happening will outweigh any advantage that could have possibly been gained by the execution. The trial was on narrow grounds. The execution was pretty speedy. It has only been a huge problem. He made joking remarks, apparently, on his way to the gallows. He said, don't be afraid, as if I was going to be hanged, said one of the guards. I didn't reply, but another guard shouted, you did bad things to Iraq. And he said, And he said, Saddam Hussein said on his way to the gallows, I made this backward country into an advanced and prosperous nation. And that part actually is, there is a certain truth to that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So everything that you could do in this war to make things, to have any kind of a viable strategy in place, anything that you could do to make things break on our behalf, have not been, none of these things have been done. Everything they've done in the most ham-handed, awkward way, ways that have backfired. So now Dickie wants 20,000 more troops, and nobody wants to give it to him. And 20,000 doesn't even begin to satisfy the requirement. So I wonder what you think is going to happen. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Joe Biden thinks that it's useless for the Democrats to try to withhold money, that that won't work. What are your thoughts? Charles in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to say I think Saddam Hussein is the only person that could have held that country together or pulled it together again as one country. You know, he's a bad guy. There's lots of bad guys around the world, lots of dictators, lots of horrible people, and not many democracies out there. Most of the third world is governed by dictators, I would think. And he's no worse than any of the others, and I never really was. And so,
and you know what? He was constrained. We had the we had all kinds of inspectors in there. We knew what he was up to, and had he been up to anything, we would have been all over him. But what had happened by us going into Iraq, a number of things happened. We took our eye off of Afghanistan, making the opium an even greater bumper crop than it has been in the past, and keeping our and letting Osama bin Laden and his ilk go free to do whatever they're going to do another day.
Yeah.
We also have stationed our first responders in it appears to be in perpetuity in Iraq, so that if anything happens in this country, we don't have the first responders here to deal with it. They're all over in Iraq.
Well, yeah, I mean we have permanent bases set up along the oil pipelines and in all the oil fields and stuff, and we're ready for a permanent plant there. You know, they know we're after the oil over there. They know they want that we're trying to steal it from them, and you know, we're trying to erect a government that will do that for us. And I just, my boy is over there right now, my oldest son. And
how long has he been there?
Well, this is the second tour. He's been there about 2.5 months now.
Is it a second tour voluntarily, or was it a stop loss order where he didn't have a choice about it?
Well, I think it was voluntarily when he first went in, yes.
But what about the second tour? He signed up?
He re-signed up, yeah. He took a cash settlement and signed up for another period of time. And so that's, you know, he's got to deal with it. So I just talked with him yesterday, and, you know, he sounds pretty good. He's not hurt yet, but he's in there in Baghdad in the outskirts making raids and doing patrols and things. So
when's he come home?
We don't know. He's coming home for a visit, for vacation, maybe sometime in the summer.
But you don't know when his tour of duty ends?
No, I don't.
Charles, I thank you very much for the
thank
call,
you.
And we are wishing your son all the best. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. We have some slow-moving traffic southbound 99 just past Fruit Ridge Road. Madison Avenue and Manzanita. I believe that car crash has been cleaned up, but we've got some debris over there, so you might want to stay clear of that. And at 4729 Manzanita, there's been a hit and run. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I'm just going to say right now what we're not saying.
She's not right.
And let the chips fall.
But she's never wrong.
Let the chips fall. Let the chips fall. All where they've been.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Dreaming. 5:56 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. CBS News reports a U.S. Air Force gunship has conducted a strike against suspected members of al-Qaeda in the African country of Somalia. The targets included the senior al-Qaeda leader in East Africa and an al-Qaeda operative wanted for his involvement in the 1998 bombings of two American embassies in Africa. The AC-130 gunship is capable of firing thousands of rounds per second, and sources say a lot of bodies were seen on the ground after the strike, but there is, as yet, no confirmation of the identities. The gunship flew from its base in the African country of Djibouti down to the southern tip of Somalia, where the al-Qaeda operatives have fled after being chased out of the capital of Mogadishu by Ethiopian troops backed by the U.S. The Ethiopians had invaded Somalia to overthrow a radical Islamic leader, a government whose cause has been championed by al-Qaeda's number two leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Once they started moving, the al-Qaeda operatives became easier to track, and the U.S. military started preparing for an airstrike using unmanned aerial drones to keep them under surveillance and moving the aircraft carrier Eisenhower out of the Persian Gulf towards Somalia. But when the order was given, the mission was signed to the AC-130 gunship operator.
Win fast, win often. The Cash Fever jackpot starts at $20,000 and guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Only at Cash Creek Casino Resort. And now you can check the growing jackpot anytime online at cashcreek.com.
30 gunship based in Djibouti.
This gunship had flown down from Djibouti and was over southern Somalia when they finally got a good fix on the location of these suspected Al-Qaeda operatives. The U.S. had also moved an aircraft carrier out of the Persian Gulf over to Somalia so that they were ready to carry out this strike with either carrier aircraft or the gunship, and they even had some ships that carried Tomahawk cruise missiles. But when the order was given, it was given to the gunship.
Reportedly, the attack left a lot of bodies on the ground, but it hasn't been determined who was killed. Among the targets was a man linked to the 1998 bombings of U.S. embassies in Africa. 48 hours from now, President Bush speaks to the nation about his new strategy in Iraq. CBS News White House correspondent Jim Axelrod reports.
The president's plan will apparently include a surge of 20,000 troops, up to $1 billion more for an economic jumpstart, and a set of benchmarks the Shiite-dominated Iraqi government must meet in reconciling with the Sunnis. But it's the idea of sending more troops that's most controversial. A new CBS News poll out tonight indicates nearly 6 in 10 Americans either want troop levels lowered or a full withdrawal.
The White House says it favors unlocking the promise of stem cells without taking human life, so it's looking at the new research that says stem cells can be harvested from amniotic fluid. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says the fluid is taken during amniocentesis, a common test during pregnancy.
The amniocentesis is not being performed in order to get stem cells. It's being performed in order to check for any kind of fetal problem. Incidentally, in the specimen that was going to be discarded anyway, scientists are able to locate and to culture stem cells.
The breakthrough was reported by scientists at Harvard and Wake Forest University. Some people say you shouldn't buy a car that was built on a Monday. The assembly line workers might not be up to snuff after the weekend. Now there's a study that says timing is everything when you get sick. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
Try not to go to a hospital on a day when the resident staff is busy with a lot of admissions. UCLA researcher Michael Long says patients have poor outcomes.
Increases in their length of stay, in their total costs, and also inpatient mortality.
Interestingly, heavy workloads on later hospital days actually help patients, perhaps because teams have a better handle on patient needs and can work efficiently. This study appears in the Archives of Internal Medicine. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow finished the game with the day with a gain of 25 points to 12,423. The NASDAQ up 3 points. This is CBS News.
Each and every one of us can be infected with influenza, a serious and often deadly infection. In fact, one out of every 5 Americans will get influenza this season. I'm Dr. Julie Gerberding, Director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and I'd like to encourage everyone who wants to be protected from the flu to get vaccinated this season. This is especially important for people at high risk for influenza-related complications.
A message brought to you by the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
The college football championship will be determined tonight.
This is Steve Futterman in Glendale, Arizona. The stadium is jammed, and as you can tell, it's very loud as number one Ohio State tries to complete a perfect season. The only thing standing in its way, number two Florida. The Ohio State fans had plenty to cheer about at the very start as Ted Ginn Jr. ran the opening kickoff back 93 yards for a touchdown. But Florida was not fazed. It came right back to tie the game at 7-7.
And in the last couple of minutes, the Gators scored again. They now lead Ohio State 14-7.
I'm Peter King at the University of Florida in Gainesville. As many as 12,000 people, mostly students, expected to fill the O'Connell Center where they play basketball and hold other events. Everybody on the way in is getting a free t-shirt, and it says, if you ain't a gator, you're gator bait.
Peter King. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Tiger Balm presents Foot.
coming to the left. It's Eat It Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Five minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours from 3 to 7 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. If you're just joining us, let me tell you where we've been. And the New York Times just has this latest installment. We have been talking a lot about Arnold Schwarzenegger's new health plan for children. And as the New York Times characterizes that he proposed sweeping changes in California's huge troubled health care system today, including the requirement that all of the state's 36 million residents have health insurance. You know, the requirement, but not really the tools to make it happen. Before we get there, let me just share this with you. Nightline, you remember Ted Koppel? Ted Koppel's Nightline? Well, Ted Koppel is now free to go out roaming, and because he's doing various special reports for the Discovery Channel. And one of the reports that he wants, one of the areas that he wants to cover, is California's prison meltdown. And apparently his people are in negotiations with the California Department of Corrections and Rehab so that Koppel can spend one night at one of the state's jam-packed prisons to get a feel for what it's like to be, well, jam-packed in a state prison, reports the Bee today. There are apparently security issues, but they're looking to try to make it happen maybe around April or so. I don't think that would be good news for the governor or the administration, because I think when you have somebody like Koppel snooping around, you're going to see all kinds of stuff that I would imagine that the administration would rather that you not see. And to bring you up to date, do you remember Chuck Quackenbush? What a creep that guy was. He was the insurance commissioner. Do you know what he's doing now? One insurance commissioner was sworn in as lieutenant governor yesterday, and that would be John Garamendi. But Quackenbush, who was the insurance commissioner, is now a cop in Florida. That's right. He's working as sheriff's deputy in Lee County, Florida. It's a long ways from being the insurance commissioner, and he left under a huge cloud allegations that he used settlement money the state collected from insurers to further his political career. So he is now a cop, and Ted Koppel is looking to investigate California prison meltdown. So just to give you a heads up. So another meltdown in our state is the sad situation where 6.5 million Californians are uninsured. What Governor Schwarzenegger appeared to offer initially was health insurance for all uninsured California children, whether they're legal or they're not legal. At the same time, he wants to slap down on the welfare payments to children. He wants to cut those welfare payments to children if their parents don't want to work. The kids don't have any control whether their parents work or they don't work. And so, in effect, what you're doing is you're punishing the kids on one hand. On the other hand, he wants to be sure that everybody's insured, and there are a lot of rules, and a lot of people are already angry in advance. So how far this thing is going to go, I don't know, because here are some of the rules. If you are a small business owner and you have 10 employees or more, you're going to have to insure them. And if you don't, you're going to have to spend 4% of your payroll into an insurance fund for the uninsured. If you're a doctor, they want 2%, I think, of your gross revenues. If you're a hospital, they want 4% of your gross revenues. And it goes on and on and on. So everybody's already getting upset in advance. And if you're an insurer, 85% of the premiums that you get from the people that you insure, it have to be used for health care costs. They can't be used for administrative costs or for profit. It has to go to health, to actual health care. And, by the way, if you're a big insurance company, you cannot deny coverage the way you have been doing. Now, you have companies like Blue Cross of California that take your money, particularly if you are a self-employed person. You think you've got insurance coverage, and the minute you actually start to use that insurance because there's something that has happened and you need it and you become ill, they find a million ways to exclude you and drop you. Even though you're current on your premiums, even though they said it was fine, you signed all the documents, they signed all the documents, they say screw you. And in one famous case, which the LA Times was reporting, they denied a recent college graduate because he had had a case of jock itch, successfully treated just a short time earlier, with cream. So they didn't think he was healthy enough. Here's the New York Times reporting on Arnold Schwarzenegger and his new health care plan. We're also talking about Dickey's speech to the American public on Wednesday night. We're going to try and bring it to you live, if we can do that. I think it should be scheduled at about 6 o'clock Pacific, in which he is going to propose 20,000 more troops to Iraq, it is being reported. Now, Frank Rich is also talking about the military. The military has a formula for how many troops you really need to be successful in any enterprise, and that formula is would require that you have about 100,000 plus troops, and that would be just for Baghdad by itself. So 20,000 troops isn't going to do anything except put all those additional lives at risk. Joe Biden thinks that all they're trying to do is to run out the clock. This administration just wants to run out the clock so that the defeat doesn't happen on their watch. It gets dumped into the lap of whoever is Dickey's successor in 2008. What are your thoughts about this? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Let me share with you what the New York Times has to say about Schwartz's plan. That he's proposing sweeping changes to California's huge troubled health care system, including the requirement that all the state's 36 million residents have health insurance. A total of 6.5 million people, one-fifth of the state's population, do not have such insurance, far more than any other state in the nation. And at least 1 million of these uninsured are illegals. Under Schwartz's plan, which requires the approval of the legislature, California would become the fourth and by far the largest state to attempt to provide near universal health coverage for its citizens. The other three are Massachusetts, Maine, and Vermont. Now, Sheila Kuehl is going to be our guest tomorrow in the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to ask her these questions because she authored Senate Bill 840 that provides universal single-payer health care coverage for everybody in the state of California, and that right off the top will save the state about $8 billion. But the insurers, I don't think, are part of the package, and they're not going to be too happy about it. The governor outlined his proposal to an audience of healthcare experts and reporters via satellite from Los Angeles, where he's recuperating from a broken leg. Over the last, the plan includes elements, listen to this, that only an hour after the announcement of the plan has already provoked opposition from many powerful interests, including doctors and his Republican colleagues in the state's legislature. Over the last 2 years, state legislators all over the country have grown increasingly concerned about how to provide health insurance to its citizens as the number of employers offering coverage has fallen and the number of workers entering fields where health insurance is not an option have grown. In many states, spending on Medicaid, the federal government's health program for the poor, has surpassed that for education. In New York, Governor Eliot Spitzer vowed to insure all the state's children and enroll all eligible adults in Medicaid. And New Jersey is among a handful of states considering some form of universal coverage. Because of its sheer enormity, California, a state where many social policy debates begin, is likely to set the stage for the national conversation about health care this year. I am telling you, I think Sheila Kuehl's proposal is the right proposal. And I also want to share this with you. I think it's Josh Micah Marshall who has said, if you look at any of the decisions that this administration has made, and he says, I don't care which decisions they are, how many of them have been good decisions? Mostly they've been awful decisions. Going back some years, now, 4 years even, who can point to even a single Bush administration decision in Iraq, either strategic or tactical, that didn't turn out to be either a bad idea or a complete disaster? Anything? One good call? When the president goes before the people on Wednesday, what he is basically saying to them is, trust me. 349-1320. Deborah Bowen has been sworn in, and guess what? She's going to reevaluate all the voting machines that her predecessor, even the ones her predecessor has certified, and look at them for whether or not they are honest enough to certify. And she has named an attorney who has been a chief major e-voting critic. She has named that person to Key Voting Systems Oversight role, so good for her. She's done the right thing right out of the box. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Frank in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Ian. How are you doing this evening?
Good, thank you.
I got a comment on, you know, Bush sending more people into Iraq. You know, I think that's another mistake that he's making because he's never going to have enough troops out there. And basically, his agenda is to, you know, get the contract signed with Iraq to be able to steal their oil like he's been trying to do the whole time. And before they send any more troops out there, what they think they need to do is they need to, Bush needs to get his family members, nieces, nephews, and so forth, and the Republicans that are backing him with that, they need to get them as well, their family members out there, and put them out on the front line before they start sending anybody else in harm's way.
Yeah, so you think that's going to happen anytime soon?
No, but that's what they need to do.
Well, he can. Nobody wants to make an example. Apparently, the theme of his speech is going to be sacrifice.
Yes.
But they want you to sacrifice. He's not willing to sacrifice his delusions,
no.
And he's not willing to sacrifice his ego.
No, exactly. You know, like,
but he wants other people to potentially sacrifice their lives.
No. Well, like they said, you know, he was already shorthanded when he first went into this war. He started this war, okay, and he knows that he was wrong to begin with, and he's not doing nothing about becoming somebody who's going to be up front and getting anywhere with this war, because I'm telling you right now, we just got a lot of our own innocent children out there getting killed for nothing.
Well, that's exactly right, and I couldn't agree with you more, Frank. Thanks for calling. 349-1320. One of the number two commander in Iraq conceded yesterday that a military surge escalation would not be enough to rescue Iraq, advocating economic and political changes as well. So he admits it's not enough. The Democrats are saying their spine is stiffening. A lot of Republicans are going to resist the idea. But Dickey's the president, and he can say, screw you, I'm going to do it. And that appears to be where he's headed. And the Los Angeles Times is reporting that as Washington is waging a very public battle against Iran's quest for nuclear power, it is quietly gaining ground on another energy, the oil fields that are the Islamic Republic's lifeblood. Iran's oil industry has raked in record amounts of cash during 3 years of high oil prices, but a new U.S. campaign to drive financing for oil and natural gas development poses a threat to the Republic's ability to continue exporting oil over the next two decades. So this campaign comes at a moment of unique vulnerability for Iran's oil industry, which also faces challenges from rising domestic energy consumption, international isolation, a populist spending spree by its president, and trouble closing contracts with foreign oil companies, a recipe for potential disaster in a nation with one of the world's largest reservoirs of oil. The efforts by the U.S. and its allies over the last few months to persuade international banks and oil companies to pull out of Iran threatens dozens of projects, including development of Iran's two massive new oil fields that could expand output by 800,000 barrels a day over the next 4 years. Many European banks, which had accepted financing some oil industries projects, have recently canceled them. So we're trying to muscle Iran. I said Iraq earlier. I meant Iran. Sorry about that. 349-1320-866-626-1320. So we're talking about health care reforms that Schwarzy wants to put into effect that less than an hour after being announced have already engendered a huge opposition from powerful forces in the state of California. So it's going to be very interesting. At the same time, the governor wants to save hundreds of millions of dollars in next year's state budget by halting welfare payments to children if their parents don't go to work. Like, do you think the kids have much say over whether the parents go to work? Isn't that punishing the children? What are your thoughts about that? Gabriel in Granite Bay. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Gabriel.
Hello, ma'am. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. I've been listening to you, and this is my first time to talk because I heard you calling some of the listeners to participate. So I'm participating.
Well, I'm delighted that you have. Thanks for doing it.
Yes. I'm just wondering why in America, which is one of the a democratic country, a lot of people does not participate in the struggle against George Bush. And we know a lot of mistakes made by him, and yet very, very complacent. The citizens are, they don't care. And
Gabriel, where are you from?
From the Philippines.
You're from the Philippines, and so to you this seems really pretty astonishing, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You remember in the Philippines when Marcos was the dictator, which the Filipino people raising just, you know, people's power to kick him out from the power. And yet in America, a lot of people are educated, and yet a lot of things is, you know, going around us, and yet nobody cares. Nobody is moving. Just, you know, you listen to talk show, you listen to, you know, you watch television, and yet among the streets that you talk to people, they don't care. They don't even know what's going on.
Why do you think this is?
Because of long, to me it's just culture, long history of the Americans, too many cultures in here and too many ethnicity, and they tend to focus in their own.
I don't think it's too many cultures and too many ethnicities. I think that we have had it so good for so long, we don't think we need to raise a finger. That we don't need to lift a finger, that somehow it's all going to come out fine, and why get upset about it? Why break a sweat? Let's go to the gym. Let's go shopping. Let's watch entertainment tonight. Let's forget about it.
Yes, they created a consumer's mentality, you know. People tend to have new cars, big houses, and so on and so forth. And yet, when you go out in your neighborhood, you see people who doesn't even have food to eat tomorrow. And you still have homeless people. It's just ironic that when you're outside of America, when I was in the Philippines and I look at America and says, hey, America is, you know, the country of your dreams, and you think that there are no poor people, but when you arrive here, you will be astonishing that there are, when I came in here, I went to L.A., and you can see in South L.A., and in East L.A., too many people who doesn't even have food to eat. It's just amazing that a lot of people outside of America think that America is the land of honey, and yet when you are here, you can see the disparity between the rich and the poor.
You are absolutely right, and you are absolutely right to bring this up. Gabrielle, I'm glad that you have, and I hope you'll call us again. Thank you for doing it. I think people want to respond to you, so continue to listen.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. 349-1320, what do you think about what Gabrielle has to say? That we are disengaged, that we don't take to the streets. We disapprove. There's a new CBS poll out that says we disapprove of the way the president has handled this war. We don't want to send 20,000 people. We voted. I mean, this was a referendum in November. The reason that the Republicans got tossed out of office, most of them, is because of the war. So we really have said to the president, look, this is how we feel. And you know what the president has said back? Screw you. I'm the president. I'm the decider, and you're not. And I'm a uniter, too. I'm a uniter. I'm the decider. And where has he made a right decision in the last 4 years about this war? Where? And what can we do about it? And how come we're not taking to the streets? Because there's no draft, for one thing. Because as long as things are good in our little acre of net worth, we're not bestirring ourselves. But you know what? What was that line that came out of, that you read? When they came, it was for the Holocaust, when they came for the Catholics, I didn't do anything because I wasn't a Catholic. When they came for the Jews, I did nothing because I wasn't a Jew. When they came for the homosexuals, I did nothing because I wasn't homosexual. When they came for the gypsies, I did nothing for the gypsies because I wasn't a gypsy. And when they came for me, nobody did anything for me because there wasn't anybody left. I mean, it's said much more eloquently than that and more elegantly than that. But there is a great deal of truth. We are not protecting our own interests because we don't, I guess we don't think it's worth it. Or we don't want to bestir ourselves, or we're busy with the after holiday cleanup. Ashwin in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm well, Ashwin. Thank you.
Okay, the comment, the last comment, a very important comment, and I think it touched on one of the reasons, being that we've had it so good so long. And I think basically we, as a people, have faith in the system because it has worked so well and we've been able to tweak it around, make it work better. The only difference this time around is that they have been breaking the system. They've been systematically going around and changing everything that we support. And I think it will take some time for people to totally realize what is being lost over there. Look at the NSA thing. Look at the rights we're losing without being asked.
Well, also, I mean, I think there's a Feingold, Russ Feingold is demanding some kind of an explanation from the White House as to why the president can sign a statement saying that the government's not going to read our mail, and then do a signing statement that completely negates the bill that he just signed. So at least the Democrats are beginning to wake up, but there's not a lot of, you know, people were willing to vote. They were willing to go that far in November, but I don't know how much farther, whether they're willing to take to the streets. I don't see any evidence of it, and I think complacency is key element. And Ashwin, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Our caller from the Philippines, Gabriel, asked the question. He doesn't know why people aren't taking to the streets. He doesn't know why the people have spoken and they said we don't want any more troops to go to Iraq. And why people aren't really more engaged politically. Do we have an answer for that? Is it simply complacency? Is it as long as we're so overwhelmed, we're so busy, we're so tired, that as long as things are going okay in our own little acre of net worth, we're not so interested in what's happening next door when everything is breaking down? Nancy in Galt. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. I think that it's a caller that called earlier talking about culture. I think that one of the things I thought about is more like pop culture. I think what's happening is that people don't care about what's going on because every time you watch TV, every time you look at the news, it's more important about what celebrities are doing, what they're up to, and it seems like what really is important, current events, politics, just kind of takes the back burner to everything else. I mean, if you look at the kind of stories...
Okay, let me be devil's advocate. I absolutely agree with you. And why do you think it happens?
I think that in terms of, I'm 35 years old, and I remember when I was younger, the news focused more on important issues. And I think it has a lot to do with marketing. I think we've become such a corporate society that it's more about how can we get people to spend money, so let's make that appear.
Well, okay, and but beyond that, let's add to that thought. The TV news is about ratings. And that what you were seeing, they did some studies just very recently about how much Iraq coverage there is, and there's not. It's less and less Iraq coverage because it's distressing. People don't want to see the carnage, the failure. Night after night, it's a story of more bodies blown up. People are tuning it out. And I think what the networks have found out, or the news operations have found out, is these doggy stories, these nice aw shucks stories, these cat in the tree stories, fish out of water stories, celebrity stories get more ratings and get more interest than hard news does. And so you see a kind of closed feedback loop. The more celebrity, you know, the more we know that Britney Spears isn't wearing any underpants, and the more she's out on the town with Paris Hilton, the more the numbers go up, and the less room there is for stories about hard news, and it doesn't generate the same interest apparently.
Right, and that's where I'm going back to. They realize that the higher ratings are going to get better, you know, they can sell spots more easily, they can get more money for the spot.
There you go, that's it.
Exactly.
And they can deliver larger audiences, which translate into more money per commercial, more money for the time.
Yeah, and I think the other thing I've also noticed since September 11th, I think that it's kind of like what Bush has been doing, where just the fear. It seems like we've been made to believe for so long that he knew best, and we didn't. And it's almost like too many of us became complacent, who would absolutely not agree with what he's doing, but, you know, it makes you wonder, was he really right? Did he really know what he was doing? Because they both made you believe that was true.
You know, it's like a big sedative was poured over this country, whether on the press corps or whether the population, and it was like we were stunned. You know, there must be fairy tales about things that happen like that, where we were stunned into complete inaction and paralysis. That never did the press respond less like press. They acted like cheerleaders, like stenographers. They refused to ask the hard questions. And in part, there were some very clear reasons why. If they asked the hard questions and didn't ingratiate themselves with the White House, and the White House was their beat, they were going to get any access they needed. They were going to be cut off from that access. So you either had to play the game or walk the line somehow. Or if you were too tough on the administration, you couldn't get access. Therefore, you couldn't do your jobs. Therefore, you would be replaced.
Well, look at the Secretary of the Press is now Tony Snow, you know, who I believe used to work for Fox, and it just kind of tells you that, okay, you're either going to go along with it or you're not going to get the news or you're going to be cut out. And
look at how shabby they were to Helen Thomas. I mean, this is a woman in her mid-80s who has covered more administrations than I think anybody in the White House press corps. She should have been considered the dean of the press corps. And they have tried to marginalize her and ridicule her and push her off to the side any way they could, push her right off.
Exactly. And I think, I can't recall his name right now, but there was a reporter who basically has been in conflict constantly when he brings up the hard questions.
Well, David Martin, I think, is one of them. David Gregory.
Yes.
David Gregory. And remember, they did let a reporter in. Can you imagine how hard it is to get White House press credentials, who was just a male escort, who had no real reporting credentials at all?
Right. So I just think it's just one of those things where I think it's a combination of fear and just how we become so corporate in this country, and it's very sad to say. But I personally grew up in Mexico. I was born and lived in Mexico several years, and you kind of see the difference. In that country, most of what you saw on the news was controlled by the government. It was, you know, there was a lot of control what you saw in the media. And it seems like as I'm getting, you know, I've lived here for some time, and I see some similarities now, and it very much makes me angry. You know, I'm a citizen of the U.S., and, you know, and you appreciate your rights and your liberties, and it makes me so angry to see that people around me have to kind of force to go vote and take interest because they think it's boring. It's not interesting.
Nancy, I think you raised excellent points, and I'm just delighted that you called us today. I hope you'll call us again. Thank you very much. Bye. 349-1320. And also, one thing that I didn't mention is that there was a study recently of all these fake news reports from practically every single department in the federal government, fake news reports that were put out in order to convince us that things that weren't true were true and vice versa. I mean, this administration has just been filled with lies and deceit and is just shameful in every single way. And now, Dickie's going to come on the air on Wednesday, and he's going to look you deep in your boogity-boogity eyeballs, and he's going to say essentially, trust me. Trust me. 349-1320, 866-626. And what should we say back to him? 866-626-1320. I mean, Enid Goldstein, you're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Roseville Road at Antelope, we have a two-car crash over there slowing things down. South at 99, just north of, guess where? Fruit Ridge Road, three-car crash over there. Eastbound 50, just west of Zinfandel Drive. Elk Grove Florin Road, just south of Florin Road, and it looks like that's about it. I mean, we've got to slow down I-5 and the J Street. Looks like there might be a vehicle on the right-hand side. Otherwise, it looks pretty good. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free.
Really?
Call her now at
349-1320. Hello, hi, how are you?
Sweet. New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning. Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The LA City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea. Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities,
facilities, and, of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate or a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Talk to Enid now,
349-1320. I'm crazy for this little lady. I'm faking for my little baby, cause she makes me feel good. She's so much fun, don't need all my other ladies. I'm begging for this little lady, cause I tell you she's cool. She's divine, I know she's a super lady. I'm waking, I've gone hazy, yeah. I'm crazy for that lady. She's super, she's not shady, yeah. Sophisticated lady, and she makes me feel good. She's so fine.
6:36 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, yours until 7 on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about why there's so much complacency. When Dickie's going to get on the air on Wednesday, and I think we'll be bringing you his speech to the American people as to why he needs 20,000 more troops, when his number two commander says that that won't even do it, when Frank Rich is writing and other military analysts have said you need at least 100,000 more just to protect Baghdad, when Joe Biden believes that the only reason we're sending 20,000 more troops into Iraq is so that this administration, the defeat won't happen on their watch, you're just running out the clock until whoever follows up, whoever is the next president, you know, who's going to come in with a big pooper scooper and follow up with this mess, to clean up this mess that this administration has left. If you look over any of the decisions in the last 4 years, says Josh Michael, about Iraq, can anybody point to one that wasn't either a bad idea or a complete disaster? And this is either a strategic or tactical decision, going back over the last 4 years. So what the president is going to say, in effect, when he comes before the American public on Wednesday night is, trust me. And we have said, the new CBS poll just out says that we want Dickie to change strategy in the war. We believe that the war is going badly for the U.S. 2 in 3 think that removing Saddam Hussein from power was not worth the cost, that this was really a bad idea. In fact, we're going to rehang him. The Borowitz Report, comma, satire. That's right. We're going to get it right this time, the president promises. At a press briefing at the White House today, President George W. Bush said that he was sensitive to the global outcry over the manner in which former Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein was hanged and would attempt to make amends by hanging Saddam Hussein for a second time. I have heard the criticism of Saddam's hanging loud and clear, Mr. Bush said. We are fully prepared to rehang Saddam Hussein, and we will get it right this time. After video images of the Iraqi strongman's hanging appeared on the Internet and turned him into a martyr in the Arab world, a new, improved rehanging of Saddam Hussein was the only solution, Mr. Bush said. Mr. Bush said that the rehanging of Saddam was an important first step in a new campaign he called Operation Iraqi Demartyrization. According to the president, Saddam's second hanging will be conducted under a strict new set of rules handed down by the U.S., including a zero-tolerance policy on camera phones. If this second hanging shows up on YouTube, I'm going to blow my stack, Mr. Bush said. Mr. Bush said that the U.S. would try to control the taunting by the hooded Shiite militiamen responsible for hanging the Iraqi dictator by issuing, quote, an official list of approved Shiite taunts. If it's not on that list of taunts, I don't want to hear it, Bush said. You stay classy, Shiites. The Borowitz Report, comma, satire. A Jerusalem paper is, a Jerusalem website, actually, is reporting that Saddam's lawyers claim his body was abused. Lawyers of the Iraqi leaders say that they will sue Iraqi government at the International Court of Justice over abuses by executioners during and after the execution. And Fox News says that there is video that is shows a big gaping wound on Saddam Hussein's neck. Now, I don't know if you get that when you are hung like that. I don't know. A member of Saddam Hussein's legal team said that she intends to sue the Iraq government at the International Court of Justice over the taunting of the former leader by executioners on the gallows. She added that the court will be asked to authorize that Saddam's body be exhumed for an autopsy to check for abuse signs on the body. So it is alleged that his body was abused. And also, here's what else we know. We know that the U.S. government tried very hard not to have the execution occur when it did. They wanted more time. They didn't want it to go forward as it did. They fought very hard with the Iraqis, or maybe not that hard, because it seems like we control the Iraqis. It seems like they're sort of a puppet government. So if we really didn't want the execution to go forward, maybe we would have stepped in and done more to keep it from happening. But apparently there was a lot of back and forthing behind the scenes, and there was a lot of dissent even amongst Americans themselves. But there was a pushback by the U.S. to keep the execution from taking place. 349-1320-866-626-1320. So another misstep. I mean, everything this administration does is a huge mistake. And here's Nora Ephron writing about Nancy Pelosi. She says, you know, I've watched Nancy Pelosi on Sunday morning, and I was stunned to discover that both she and I seem to have had the same haircut this week. It was a mistake for us both, in my opinion. How Nancy Pelosi had time to get her haircut, I don't know, but I know how I did. I went to have my annual mammogram, and it was, as usual, so painful and horrible that I emerged completely deranged onto Madison Avenue, bought three pairs of shoes, and wandered into my hairdresser's, hoping she was free. She was, and as a result, my hair is too short. So is Nancy's. I have had a lot of haircuts that were too short in my life. You know what the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is? 2 weeks is my view of it. And I know that eventually, in a couple of weeks, it will grow in and I will feel better. In the meantime, though, a bad haircut takes a toll. It's depressing. It makes you feel powerless. It makes you feel like a kind of muted version of yourself. So I like to think that that's why Nancy seemed so powerless and depressed and muted on Face the Nation Sunday, especially when she said that President Bush was going to have to justify himself in order for Congress to consider his impending request to send 20,000 more troops to Iraq. Here's the deal, Nancy, writes Nora Ephron. There's no justification for sending 20,000 more troops to Iraq, no matter what the president says. There's no justification at all. The president is sending 20,000 more troops so that he can't be accused of not sending more troops. The president is sending 20,000 more troops because the other option didn't work, but this one isn't going to either. The president is sending 20,000 more troops so that he can postpone coming to terms with reality, which is that this war is a catastrophe. No matter how the president justifies this escalation, with add-ons like job training and buzzwords like metrics and benchmarks, there is no justification for it. The only possible outcome is that more troops will be killed and wounded as patsies for an unjustifiable war. Bob Schieffer asked Nancy Pelosi if she thought that she would be held to a higher standard as the first woman Speaker of the House. He asked whether she thought that if she failed, it might hurt other women candidates. I'm not going to fail, Pelosi replied. I like that answer. It was spunky, spunkier than anything else Pelosi said, and I applaud her for overcoming her haircut and having a spunky moment. But there's no question that women are judged more harshly than men, and not just by men. I mean, look at me. I am actually blaming the disappointing behavior of the first woman Speaker of the House on her haircut. This is worse than inexcusable. It is unjustifiable. I will be better in a couple of weeks, and I hope Nancy will be, too. Nora Ephron, 349-1320 and 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. I believe that snow might be in Sacramento's future. I think it's coming on Thursday. Not just a little bit, though. I think scattered snow showers. I seriously don't think it's going to last very long in Northern California. Elk Grove, Flowing Road, just south of Florin Road. We have a two-car crash. Eastbound ID at Longview Drive and Auburn Boulevard at Walnut Avenue. Hit and run. There are injuries involved, and we do have emergency vehicles over there. Major injuries and a three-car crash at westbound ID just east of Oyster, so stay away from there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
Enid Goldstein, a sign of intelligent life in the political universe. On AM 1320 Sacramento's left channel.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to sh- Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it, because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was? It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth. Tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Already let the administration know we're against this war, and he's still going to go forward, Dickey, the president, and try to send 20,000 more troops to Iraq. Jan and Sack, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jan.
Hi there. Actually, Enid was wondering... there's a million answers to that.
What do you think they are?
Well, but the thing is, there's a whole lot of things going on. We're not really all that complacent. There's a lot of things going on. It's not like it was in the 60s because we have an entirely different society now.
So why do you think people are not so actively engaged politically? We don't want to watch it on TV because it's too depressing?
Well, we can certainly watch a lot of other violence on TV and enjoy the heck out of it.
I know, but this is real.
I know, and we got kids enjoying the heck out of it. We're raising them to enjoy the heck out of it.
So,
and we're accepting it.
So your point is that?
My point is it's all a fantasy. The war is a fantasy, too.
What do you mean it's a fantasy? It's a very real thing, the war, isn't it?
Not until those boys come home and we see them face to face.
So we're not allowed to see the coffins coming home. We're still not allowed to see them.
No, but we see plenty of fake violence, and we see plenty of games where kids are shooting people on the street, and it's all a game to them. And it's a show on television.
So it doesn't have any reality for anybody. It's just another another action adventure.
Paul Rove's plan.
That we are so mesmerized by television, we've seen so much violence, this is just another action event, action-adventure sequence on television?
If it's easier to ignore it, we will.
Well, I know you might be right about that, Jen. I thank you for the call. You know what the administration was talking about, the reality-based community? Did you ever hear of such a thing, the reality-based community? Do you know what it is? It's people who believe in the truth, as opposed to people who believe in this administration's, and I mean it, the administration uses this term as though it's a put-down. If you're in the reality-based community, they regard this as a put-down. That's right. I'm not making this up. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. John Murtha, appearing on Hardball. Could not have been clearer on the controversial issue on whether Democrats have the ability to restrict the Bush administration's funding of a troop increase in Iraq. Now, Joe Biden says it's not really possible, and he got all mealy-mouthed on it. But Murtha, Joe Biden confused the issue by claiming that it was constitutionally questionable whether Congress could preempt funding of Bush's desired surge. No, that's not true at all, says Jack Murtha, adding, we have every ability. On the question of why certain Democrats were shirking from this opinion he offered, I'll tell you, it's all political. Now, since Murtha is the chair of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, it is in his power to push such a limitation on funding. So we will see whether he decides to put the money where his mouth is. Jack Murtha, John Murtha, is saying that we have the power of the purse now. And in his position as chair of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, he may very well be right about that. As Joe Biden, meanwhile, had said yesterday that it is constitutionally questionable whether Congress could preempt funding of Bush's desired escalation. This will be a very interesting very interesting confrontation. I can't wait to see it happen. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Monday. It only feels like Thursday. Monday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West. You know, if there's snow, Lisa, I have to tell you, we're in trouble because of the box dots on the that separate lanes and how you do snow plowing. I don't even know if we have snow plowing equipment, but how you do it and not ruin the roads or your snow plow equipment is the question.
Here's the thing. I mean, you know, I was born and raised in Wyoming and was in Montana for a while, and guess what? Those dots disappeared. Well, because as soon as they plowed, they plow them right up. And, I mean, how can you not help it?
Well, but in climates where there's a lot of snow, they don't have those dots on.
No, yeah, the dots are non-existent. There's a lot of salt, though.
Thank you.
A lot of salt, a lot of cows running around, and that's really not a joke. We do have one down in South Sac today. Eastbound 50 just east of Stock Road and Madison Avenue, eastbound I-80. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It's talk radio for the left of makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Metro PCS presents.
At Cash Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins, just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cash Creek Casino Resort.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. Why? Enormous tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Monday edition of Enid Live. As I just shared with you, John Murtha says that as in his role as chair of the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Defense, it is in his power to keep the funding from this administration for this troop surge. But Nancy Pelosi just said today that Democrats will not cut off funding for the war in Iraq, despite indicating earlier that she will not give President Bush a blank check to fund a U.S. troop surge. I'm going to be very clear, she says, Democrats will not cut